I've just admitted, Mr. Sithole, so the meeting is correcting. In terms of apologies, the members who apologized are Mr. Yabo this morning. He's attending the higher education meeting. And Mr. Pip May, who apologized for today and tomorrow. He was is busy with party responsibilities for the next 2 days. The department is the minister who's attending NCCC and the PLO who's on oversight with the select committee chair. Mr. Makhato is the leader of the delegation today for the department. I have not received any other apologies from the members except Mr. Yabo and Mr. May.
Thank you very much, Valerie. Honorable members, as I've said, a very warm welcome to a very long constituency period. I believe that we served our constituencies well, and we are energetic and ready to commence and do what we are supposed to be doing. And I'm sure we'll put our all to this very short third quarter term, and we will give also our fullest cooperation in whatever we needed to do. You are warmly welcomed, and apologies as we have heard, Honorable Yabo, Honorable May, the Minister. Those are the three apologies that we have. because of time, I think let's then move. We have about four agenda items today. The first one is deliberations on the economic regulations, and I'm sure we are ready. Valerie, do we have our advocate with us here?
Chair, we have both the state law advisor and the parliament legal advisor here in the meeting. Yeah, they're both here, Chair. Ms. Haricharan from the state law advisor and Ms. Gangan from the parliamentary legal office. And we also have the department team that's working on the bill.
Parliament is
Ms. Gangan, and the state law advisor is Ms. Haricharan.
Okay. I think because we're coming from a bit long recess, let's allow quickly our advocate Nan to quickly refresh so that we then continue with this item. Advocate Nell, are you here?
Morning, Chairperson. Nice to see everybody again today, even though Cape Town's very cold today. Chair, for the ERT bill, members had some input that they made in the last meeting, Members indicated that they would like to continue with the ERT bill, but that they were not yet ready for the A list. So, Chair, the department did respond to some of the questions that members had. The sticking point remained the phased-in approach, and if we do consider the phased-in approach, that the financial impact and financial considerations as presented by the department would still suffice in terms of supporting the processing of this bill. So Chair, I don't know if members have further input and had some time during the recess just to have a look at the bill again, because Chair did indicate that they just need to make sure that all their concerns are laid out on the table before the Parliament Legal Advisor, State Law Advisor, and the department team get together to finalise a draft A-list based on the comments members have already made. So, Chair, that is just a very short recap on where we are in the process.
We are about to finalize the deliberations on this bill and prepare ourselves for the A list. As I hear you, there were concerns raised by members, and the department has since responded, and I think we'll take it from there. Advocate Makhatu.
Morning, Chairperson, morning, honorable members, and morning, colleagues. Maybe for the sake of seeing who I am, those that might not be knowing me, this is the voice behind the name. And with your permission, Chairperson, may I switch off the video for saving bandwidth?
Yes, you may advocate.
Thank you, Chairperson. Indeed, I'll be leading the delegation for this session today. And that being said, I think it's fit and proper that I also mention the colleagues that are accompanying with me for the purposes of the record, Chairperson, if you may indulge me. I'm with Ms. Padziri, Malitlhonolo Padziri, and Mr. Moeketsi Sekhudu. And Chairperson, just to make a note as well, Mr. Sekhudu will be leading the engagements as he has been part of this process from inception to date. In case of any other thing that the honorable members and the committee itself would require, he will be able to assist with that. And that being said, we also have Ms. Kamantha Manilal, and who else from the department. That will be all for now, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Okay. So there's nothing you want to say on your side before I give the members on the response?
Not at all, Chairperson, unless maybe my colleagues can confirm what Honorable Advocate has said about the engagements and the outstanding issues and the responses that the Advocate Nell has made in terms of the responses and what the department has done subsequent to that. Maybe they might just want to confirm that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chair, I'm here. Good morning to yourself and good morning to honorable members. I've got nothing to say except to receive your guidance, Chair, as to how we move forward. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, honorable members. I'm sure at this point we may want to hear members. Are we ready to proceed? Do we have anything to clarify before we move on? I have two hands, that of Honorable McDonald and that one of Honorable Hun Singer. Yes, in that order, please.
Good morning, Chairperson. Thank you very much for the opportunity, and welcome back all the members. And Chairperson, I thought we would have had a little bit of a presentation from the department on those burning issues that we've raised previously regarding the phasing in and the financial implications of the phasing in and the time it's going to take. I think the committee raised many, many questions regarding the phasing in and what is the purpose of the bill if only one of the entities are going to be entering the bill and it's going to take more than 20 years for all of these different entities to enter this economic regulator. So, Chairperson, I thought that the department's going to give us some guidance on what is their plans, how is this going to work properly, because we are here to support the department to get this bill going, but they're not giving us much to work on, Chairperson. Chairperson, can we just get clarity on how are these entities going to be phased in and the consequential amendments that we've asked for, how are they going to do this and how are they going to get all of these things and what is the time span going to be to get all of these entities in the regulator, Chairperson? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable McDonald. Honorable Hansinger.
Thank you and good morning, Chairperson. Chairperson, I also had my hand up while we were dealing with the apologies and I therefore haven't had any reply on the chat group, so therefore please tolerate my interruption in terms of where we currently are with the agenda and have to refer back to something that should be dealt with by now. I would like to also render the apology of Honorable Celo Seselo. He's on his way traveling down to Cape Town to attend the parliamentary session as a three-line whip on Thursday. So he might be in and out currently in his vehicle. Chairperson, with regards to the current the agenda
apology of who?
Honorable Celo Seselo.
Oh, okay, Honorable.
Our third
member. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, then with regards to the ETR, I would like to know, acknowledging that we're currently dealing with the B list and keen to finalize the B list. Therefore, just a question, at what stage do you envisage a stakeholder and public participation engagement, given that during the initial stakeholder and public engagement, it was a substantial different format and design for which input was asked and needed to be considered by us? So in light of the changes, also acknowledging that we have to process changes first and then print a particular format in a B list, but at what stage do you envisage a further round of input would be requested? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Bonisinga. I think let's heed to the call by Honorable McDonald. I will respond to the question by Honorable Hansinger after the presentation by the department, just to take members on board so that we don't go back and forth. I think the department is here. If you all agree, let's get the department to clarify quickly the issues that were raised by members and what the Honorable McDonald has raised. As I've said, I'll then come back to respond on the question raised by Honorable Hunsinger. Honorable Mekes.
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity. The understanding from the department was that the meeting today would be indeed discussing the aid list, because the perception that we had from the previous session that was held on the 26th of May was that the committee itself endorses the bill and supports it. And therefore, the duty that needs to be done going forward is the aid list itself. Maybe there's a misunderstanding here, Chair. Maybe we need guidance and clarification as to how we process this matter going forward. Indeed, the impression that we received from the previous meeting, Chair, was that the aid list will be discussed and finalized today, and therefore take forward the processing of the bill going forward. Thank you, Chair. I think there isn't much that we can share for now, Chair. Thank you.
Let me just quickly recap, Honorable Mekesi. At a particular point, if I'm correct, just right towards the end of this bill list, the department raised an issue that they would want to process this bill in bits and pieces, implement it. And I think that's where the issue came from. And I think one issue that was raised at that point was that the view of the committee has always been this ERP bill will actually save a lot of costs compared to the current situation, and how do you envisage saving costs if you are going to be implementing this ERT bill in bits and pieces? I think those were part of the questions that were raised. I can see the hand of Honorable Mabena and Honorable Chris Hunsinger. Let me take those hands. I'll come back to you. Honorable Mabena.
Angithokoze sihlalo, ngithokoze ithuba ngitho namhlanje ngilotshise abalingani bonke. Ngilotshise nabo bonke abantu abakhona emhlanganweni. So I think one of the issues perhaps mhlambe i-department yathi izobuya kithi izositshela ukuthi apart from the financial implications, there was an issue where we had proposed that the Portfolio Committee on Transport must be the one that appoints the board, similarly to the Broadcasting Act of 1999, the way it's done on the SABC, rather than being a situation where it is a process which is spearheaded by the Department of Transport or by the minister. Because I think there was that proposal, and I think the department had not yet come back to tell us in terms of their feeling on what the committee had proposed as far as that is concerned, and on that issue. And then also there was an issue as well which we had a problem with in terms of the nature of the intervention, because there was a section which was speaking by the ministerial intervention, and there was a feeling in this portfolio committee that that was a bit of an overreach, and that there was perhaps if the department could clarify in terms of what would be the nature of the ministerial intervention. And then also this was not really responded to in a satisfactory manner. So I think the issue for me is the department's processing of the committee's feeling in terms of ensuring that we can appoint the board, the regulatory board in this instance. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mabena, Honorable Hunsinger.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, in May this month, this bill was under serious threat. And the threat which occurred was because of information that was inconsistent. And we, as a portfolio committee, we actually decided to send this bill back and not consider it any further. But then a particular settlement was reached with the department that clarity would be provided. And the clarity that was sought by the committee was a focus on three different areas. The one involved the phasing in, where before the presentations reflected a full phasing in of nearly all the entities that deals with economic regulation in a bigger or lesser manner. The second issue was the financial implications, because a particular saving was promoted by the department, which in a changed model of phasing in seriously affected that model in principle. In other words, the savings disappeared to a large extent, and new justification had to be presented based on financials that we haven't seen. And we also haven't seen the latest phasing in plan from the department to then consider practicalities, and whether, in fact, it would make sense to have a new and separate entity over and above all the other entities, being mindful of the third component, which is a serious change of the legislation, which is required then to convert all these entities into this envisaged ERT. So those are the three serious issues, Chairperson, which we anxiously await the department to react on for us to take the next step, to wedge us into a situation of having to approve Schedule A and Schedule B and just push forward, will land us in exactly the same position as what we are with, for instance, the NLPA bill, which has also been pushed and approved, and now we sit with serious consequences like we had during the recess period with taxi violence and with all sorts of issues between public transport stakeholders. So, Chairperson, please let us not rush this. We are all keen to move forward and have an improved dispensation within the transport environment, but not on the basis that we must simply rubber stamp. So, Chairperson, those are the three issues which I would suggest this portfolio committee take serious in querying the department, and first to get clarity on before we consider any formal improvement of any component of this legislative design. And those are the phasing in, which Honorable MacDonald mentioned, the financial implications, which Honorable MacDonald also mentioned, and then obviously the consequences to legislation in converting all these entities into a single new entity. And then we must also decide whether it is justified for a new entity then to be considered over and above the fact that all these functions and roles are already accommodated in each of the current entities. So those are the considerations, and I thank you for the time, Chairperson.
Let's hear Honorable Keta Mabala.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you for your indulgence. I'm very sorry, first of all, that I tried to came in, but it was some problem on my gadget. Thank you, Chairperson. Sometimes I will repeat what other members have been said, because I didn't hear them when they started. Chairperson, first of all, I'm trying to check because I remember from our last meeting, the questions and the input that were put by different members about the financial implications on these entities. I hear that Mr. McDonald has touched on that one, and Mr. And Honorable Mabena and Honorable Hans Inger. But it will be proper if the department can actually clarify those input from members. And the other chairperson, I'm always chairperson about this economic clustering, because we are trying to put together different entities into one entity. If the officials from the department can actually clarify us, give us actually the insurance about this consolidation of these entities. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Keta Mabala. I take it that the department is not ready today to take us through what the members have just raised. I think members are supporting by and large what the Honorable McD has raised, and they have some additions, of course. That they make it.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can we?
Chair, I think.
Can we agree that, as you have said, you thought we are going to get into an A list? These are the issues that the portfolio committee would want explained, so that then we can move forward in terms of our view on this bill.
Okay, Chair. There are three things that I've highlighted. It's the phasing approach, the financial implications, as well as the appointment of the board. Those are the three issues I've noted, Chair.
Yes. And the consequences of a new entity?
Yes, Chair. Noted, Chair.
Chairperson, sorry to interrupt you, Chairperson. It's also the consequential amendments, Chairperson, that we discussed in the previous meetings, Chairperson. Apologies. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Can we allow you a space to deal with these issues, Advocate Makhatu and your team?
Chairperson?
Honorable
Mr. Miyagesi? Chair, I've noted you. There are four key issues. Yeah, we've noted you, Chair.
Mm-hmm. So I think honorable members, as we are saying, we don't want to brush over these issues. Let this stand over. Go and deal with these issues. As we meet, we want your take on this issue, give us explanations so that we can then take the next step in terms of what are we going to do next. Is that acceptable, honorable members?
Acceptable, Chairperson.
Yes, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Chairperson.
Yes, Honorable Manu.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I'm in agreement, as the other colleagues have said. However, I would request that maybe our team elevate these things again from the last deliberation and maybe assist the department to give it to them again so that we don't find ourselves in this situation. And lastly, I think we need to record our disappointment. Every time we deal with this Economic Transport Regulator Bill, we experience exactly the same thing. I don't think we should take it kindly. And I just think we need to observe it. In this particular bill, I think we are facing similar things going forward. But I fully endorse and I support what you have said and what the other colleagues already agreed to, Chair. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mangu. Let's then step over this item as it stands over. Let's get to the second item, which is consideration of the draft report of the 2020-2021 fourth quarter expenditure of the Department of Transport. Who's presenting it?
Chair Advocate now is going to present it. That was the last presentation by the department on the quarterly expenditure.
I can see it on the screen already. Advocate Nell.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm just presenting the document, the last one that I have, so it might show some of my track changes. But it's a fairly short report. These reports are normally quite short. Members will see. That's just our heading. We have our general introduction that we have, which is the same for each of these quarterly reports. The only change here will be when it was presented, and the department did this presentation on 26 May. Members will see that the analysis of the fourth quarter expenditure is taken from the information presented by the department, as well as the research information that Dr. Ngezi sent to members prior to that meeting. So we have the analysis based on the introduction. We also touch on the supplementary budget because that was still part of the fourth quarter expenditure. So we still have to take both those budgets into consideration. So members will see here our budget expenditure per program just gives the table outlay of how the department spent and what their specific spending on the COVID-19 aspects were as well. Then we go into specific notes for each of the programs. So we'll see here in administration that there was a underspent there, preliminary underspent there of 18.2%, and the reasons presented by the department for this. For the ITP, members will see there was also an underspent, as well as the reasons there. The program 3, rail transport, also indicated a much smaller underspending, and that was due to the delays in establishing the rail economic regulator, as well as the white paper on rail policy. For road transport, there was also a very slight underspend, a link to vacant positions that were not filled. Civil aviation, there was an underspend of 1.2%. Again, with the various reasons that members often see for civil aviation, the vacant posts, the watchkeeping services, then less travel, obviously, due to the impact of COVID, which leads to that lower membership fees and money going to AT&S and AXA. Then for maritime transport, there was also an underspend of 4.2%, and that was linked to the International Maritime Organization World Maritime Day event. not being able to be hosted, as well as the other issues impacted by COVID. Program 7 on transport was also an underspend. So we see here on all the programs there was underspend in the fourth quarter, and the reasons for that was highlighted as well. Just on the ITP implementation in district municipalities, members will note that the department has given some reasons on that. We do see, hopefully, coming up within the next month or so, a meeting with one of the sister committees to address some of the concerns on the IPTNs. Mm-hmm. The vacant posts have continued to be a concern, and then the public transport grant monitoring was also an issue, but that was indicated by the department as a greatly impacted by COVID-19 and how they could do and check on whether or not the subsidized bus services did conclude their routes and the kilometers traveled, as well as the number of people that they would transport. Then we have the specific addition here on COVID-19 spending. So by the end of the fourth quarter, the department spent 32.1 million on the COVID-19 related projects. This was for PPE and other interventions within the department with a view of supporting public transport operators. And in addition, they also gave assistance to the Department of Basic Education with the procurement of disinfectants and sanitizers for scholar transport. Members will see here the committee observations we pulled from the discussions during the meeting. So I'm going to spend a bit more time on these ones. Members made the following observations during discussions. 3.1, underspending by the department remained a concern. The department spent 291.9 million lower than was projected. The committee was of the view that the department could not say that it reached 100% targets when its expenditure did not translate to an improvement in actual service delivery. Members remarked that even though the department achieved its targets for the rail program, trains were still not moving on main lines. The rollout of new train sets was very slow with no significant improvement. The department was told that railway lines could have been fixed during lockdown while there were restrictions on rail passenger transport, but instead the infrastructure was left to be looted. It was noted that safety at stations and on the corridors remained insufficient and continued rail safety incidents were reported. The use of diesel locomotives instead of electric engines raised their concern, as this means the train would have limited ability to control the braking system and the opening and closing of the carriage doors. In 3.3, the committee noted preliminary underspending of 65.3 million due to vacant posts that had not been filled in the administration, integrated transport planning, road transport, civil aviation transport, and public transport programs. The slow filling of vacant posts remains a concern, and the view was expressed that the department should make greater use of virtual platforms to conduct interviews as much as possible to ensure that vacancies are addressed. 3.4, the department indicated that it had spent 33 million on PPEs from March 2020 to October 2020, while the presentation indicated that this was 32 million. The department was asked to clarify the amount and indicate whether PPE was indeed procured and delivered or handed over to operators at taxi ranks. 3.5, the committee noted the reasons for the delay in the processing of the Merchant Shipping Bill, as well as the finalization of the National Anti-Fraud and Corruption Strategy. 3.6, having noted the Putco bus accident on the R573 Mulatto Road on 21 May, in which 6 bus commuters lost their lives, the department was asked to clarify the conditions attached to the PTOC transfers to Putco and whether it would review the conditions if it was found that the company was not adhering to safety conditions for transporting passengers. The department was also asked to get into contact with the family members of the victims of this incident as soon as possible. The department was also asked to clarify whether and how many public transport vehicles, including buses, were stopped during roadblocks. And 3.7, it was noted that Sunrail was seemingly overperforming on maintenance of their network, but that the report did not correlate with what was happening on the ground or the conditions of the road as experienced by drivers. Then looking at committee recommendations, again, we tried to pull this from members' comments during the meeting, and obviously for 3 and 4 members, input will be appreciated for the finalization of the report. The committee recommendations, committee recommends that the minister ensure that 4.1, the department provides the committee with a quarterly update on the number of vacant posts and the timelines to fill vacancies. 4.2, the department aligns its targets with service delivery. 4.3, the department provide the committee with a quarterly update on how it was addressing delays in the following projects. Public transport grant monitoring, the implementation of the Shova-Kalula bicycle project, and the implementation of the integrated public transport networks in district municipalities. 4.4, the department along with PRASA provide the committee with an updated report on progress with depots to house the new train sets, as well as an update on the plans to open more main passenger corridors. 4.5, the department along with Sunrail provide the committee with an updated report on progress made on the Mulata Road Corridor project. And 4.6, the department ensure that the committee receive a report on all performance targets or suspensive conditions linked to public transport operations, subsidy contracts with recipients like Putco and Golden Arrow. So, Chair, those are that's the content of the report and the observations and recommendations. If members feel that we left any of the observations out, they can just indicate for additions there. And then also if they would require further recommendations to be added or amendments to these recommendations, we will welcome those proposals, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Advocate, thank you very much. honorable members, there it is, the work we have already done. Are we comfortable with what we have done? Can we move, or do you still have anything that you want to add in the form of recommendation or observation? Let me see hands. I do have 3 hands at the moment, and belonging to Honorable Manu. That will be the first hand. Mondise, and then Honorable McDee. In that order, please.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity. Again, thank you, Advocate, for a precise report. Maybe you should help the department in ERT. Maybe we can have something more concrete and professional. That was on a lighter note. Chair, other than just lamenting because most of these things are repeating themselves and it's historic, what I'd like to see us adding here in recommendations is linked to the issue that is always there of the non-filling of vacant positions. And I would like us to be assisted to couch a recommendation that ropes in the Minister of DPF. We did the same with the Treasury Minister, and they picked it up on, I think it was the DRRR. And I feel strongly that this thing is just going on there. I don't think anybody takes it seriously. Let's couch a recommendation that requests the Minister of DPSA, something in that line, to assist the department in filling in of vacancies. Thank you very much, Chairperson. The rest I support.
The rest you support. Thank you, Honorable Manu. Mondis?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Greetings to all members. Chair, first of all, I want to thank the advocate for for her and the team for their contribution to our report. But Chairperson, what I'm trying to check here, I didn't see that, or either sometimes it's an oversight, is the issue of scholar transport. Because I have a concern that we always talk about the scholar transport, but when it comes to our observation and our recommendation, it doesn't reflect what we always propose and we always want to see the implementation and the amendment of the scholar transport. If that one, Chairperson, can be clarified, thank you very much for the report.
Thank you very much, Honorable McDonald.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I was covered by the previous speakers. I just wanted to, on page six.
As you lower your hand.
On page six, paragraph 3.2, the limited ability to control the braking system, it's braking with an A, not an EA, Chairperson, that's all. And then I wanted to thank Advocate Almanel and the transport team for this report. It's very well constructed, and it reflects what the portfolio committee has discussed previously. Thank you very much, Chair.
Are we in support of
in the support, Chairperson, in support.
Are you in agreement, honorable members, with the proposal by Honorable Mami as a recommendation that the Department of Public Service should also assist in terms of filling in of vacancies? Are we comfortable?
Okay, good morning, Chairperson. I'm in agreement with the proposal. I'm seconding the proposal.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Madwa. Ramadwa, Honorable Stole wanted the explanation in terms of the scholar transport. Why is not part of the recommendations? What were you saying about the scholar transport again? If you can just give it a minute, Honorable Stole.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, the concern that I have, and I think even other members, is that the scholar transport are being actually operated by different provinces in different ways, because some scholar transport are being operated by transport in other provinces, and other are being operated by the Department of Basic Education. So now there is a lot of things that are happening in that scenario. So now our proposal was that if we can have the meeting with the Department of Basic Education, so that we can find the solution on how the province should be consolidated and have one regulation and one control of scholar transport. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Hearing you well, the long and short of what you are saying, Honorable Stole, you are proposing a meeting between the Portfolio Committee of Transport and that of Basic Education so that we deal with the issue of scholar transport. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Before that, Chairperson, I think before we did actually raise our concern about the scholar transport. So now, even when the minister was attending our meeting, we raised this issue for scholar transport, but if the department knows about the issue of scholar transport, but there's nothing tangible that is happening in that regard. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Can we get a response on this issue of Honorable Mang, but of Honorable Stolle? But before we do that, are we in agreement that we should organize a meeting between the two portfolio committees concerning scholar transport? Do we support that, Honorable Members?
In support, Chairperson.
In support. Honorable Onsinga support, Honorable Mangu support. So the matter is supported. Okay. can we have a response on the issue raised by Honorable Stolle? I think the department will be well placed if they can.
Thanks, thanks, Chairperson. And indeed, as alluded to by Honorable Fitole, the suggestion of a meeting between PCOT and the DBE PCOT might shed light, because as it stands now, Chairperson, this is a for lack of a better word, I'll say a shared responsibility between us and our sister department being DBE. So for that reason, whatever proposals that are put forth as a department, we would gladly look into that and explore them further in addressing the concerns that might emanate from the envisaged engagement between the two portfolio committees insofar as this issue is concerned, Chapters. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can we now move the report as it is agreed to with those two additions as recommendations. Can we then move to item number 3?
Chair, is there a formal mover and a seconder for this report that the committee dealt with now, please?
Okay, I thought the Honorable McDonald did that and was seconded by Honorable Mangu, but let me, for record sake, if that was not captured, get a formal mover and a seconder.
Well, Chairperson, Honorable McDonald, I move for the adoption of the report.
Any seconder?
Honorable Manu seconds.
Thank you very much.
I said, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Hansinger. Anybody who's having a different view? Going once, twice, thrice. Thank you very much. Honorable members, can we move to consideration of a draft committee report on a matter that we had given to a subcommittee, which was referred to us by the public protector. Members of the subcommittee are here. Can we have a report presented? Valerie, who's presenting a report?
Advocate Now will present the report, Chair. Mr. Mangu is here in the meeting with the rest of the subcommittee members.
Let me maybe allow a situation where the subcommittee chair introduces a subcommittee report. over to you, chair of the subcommittee.
Thank you very much, Chair. I've prepared a speech. I don't know how much time you have for me. But on a more serious note, thank you for the opportunity. The report was circulated to members before we went on recess, and we did make a special request that colleagues go through the report so that we minimize the time that we go through the report, as it is not much new. However, we are coming back to the committee having been mandated to look into this and be able to engage with stakeholders, which the committee did. And a very, very big, big, big thank you is not enough to the support team of the committee that did an excellent job to coordinate relevant stakeholders and make sure that the subcommittee was fully supported and to be able to present a report today. Chair, I would request at this moment that I ask Advocate Nell to pick up the salient issues, and with your permission, if there are any issues at the end that I might feel like she didn't cover, we could wrap it up, but I'm sure everything is documented. But through you, Chairperson, I would kindly request Advocate Ben to take us through. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mangu. Advocate Ben.
Thank you, Chairperson. The report is quite lengthy, but a lot of the information members have seen before. A lot of the introductory information that I will be just quickly going over was in the terms of reference for the setup of the subcommittee. So my main focus in the presentation of the report will be on the observations and the recommendations. So I'm just going to take members quickly through. This is the report for the committee to consider based on the public protector's report on a systemic investigation into allegations of illegal conversion of goods carrying Toyota Quantum panel vans into passenger carrying minibus taxis to transport members of the public for reward and matters related thereto. So, Chair, the introduction indicates the mandate of the committee in dealing with these issues that are referred to it by the NA. Then also we indicate when the subcommittee was established to look into these matters. So, Chair, we'll see here the subcommittee received presentations on these dates, 18 and 25 November, 1 and 2 December of 2020, and then into this year, 17 and 24 February, and 3 and 10 March. The subcommittee would have loved to have a lot more meetings, but time was not on our side. Chair, the subcommittee, having considered the presentations, seeks to submit this report as an initial report and is of the view that further engagements may be required to determine the full extent of illegally converted vehicles on South African roads and propose possible remedial steps that should be taken to remedy any further gaps that may be identified in the current legislation and regulations linked to vehicle conversion. So, Chair, in the analysis of the Public Protector Report, this information was in the terms and the terms of reference of the subcommittee, as well as the short notes that I sent to members shortly after we received the Public Protector's Report for consideration. This just gives an indication of how it came to us, as well as the Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry. And unfortunately, how the referral lapsed, but that the committee continued to take this issue on. The issues highlighted by the public protector are listed here. Issue one was whether the department failed to take effective and efficient action to ensure the safety of commuters traveling in and to protect taxi owners from the consequences of purchasing Toyota Quantum panel vans that have illegally been converted into minibus taxis. These issues are highlighted here are taken from the public protectors report. So it's not necessarily issues or phrasing that we can change because this is factually from their report. So it's the A, B, C, D, E, F, G and H issues that the public protector pulled out to be looked at. Then the second issue was whether the National Regulator of Compulsory Standards, the NRCS, in its capacity as a national regulator responsible for the maintenance of compulsory specifications, failed to take effective and efficient steps to ensure that all MIBs, manufacturers, importers or builders comply with compulsory specifications as envisaged by the NRCS Act, so as to restrict the illegal conversions of these vehicles. And then also the sub-issues indicated by the public protector are listed there. There was a specific focus to Toyota vehicles, the Quantum panel vans in this report. The third issue was whether the South African Bureau of Standards conducted adequate quality assurance tests when it was required to do so by the department in 2009. So as to make a determination whether or not the Toyota Quantum panel vans that have been illegally converted into minibus taxis could be retrofitted to ensure the safety of commuters using these vehicles, as well as the various sub-issues identified by the public protector there. Then the public protector listed the following as remedial actions required or instructions given to the department. This followed the investigation. And then the subcommittee also looked at these issues to see how far they had been addressed. So the Minister of Transport was required to take those listed steps. Chair, I'm not going to read them through right now because they are in those reports. The DG of the Department of Transport was also required to take steps. There were also steps requested from the Minister of Trade and Industry. Their recommendations was really more based on a better working relationship between those two sister entities, or the original mother entity, the SABS and the NRCS. The Chief Executive Office of Toyota South Africa also was mentioned, and they had to consult with the Minister of Transport and try to assist and identify those vehicles. There was also a recommendation to the President and Executive Councils of SANTACO, NTA, and all other taxi formations were affected by these illegal conversions, and they were asked to ensure maximum cooperation with the department to solve these problems. So, Chair, just an indication here, the department institutions, bodies or associations were required to effect remedial action in terms of the report and had been given 30 days from the date of publication of the public protector's report, which was 27 March 2019, to submit their action plans and remedial actions, which would have been in mid-May 2019. And those remedial actions in turn would have had to be implemented within 90 days from the publication. So they would have had to start with their implementation, if they hadn't already done so, by the second week of August 2019. Then we just list the issues that were not in dispute. So these were issues that were agreed to by all parties in their presentations. Again, Chair, this was in the notes to members. So I'm just going to quickly go over them, that the year that we started hearing issues was during or about 2005 regarding quantum panel vans converted illegally into minibus taxis. These vehicles or conversions were in the public domain since 2005, and the department attempted to stop the practice in 2009 when they appointed the technical task team committee. The task team included representatives from financial institutions, which unfortunately the subcommittee were unable to meet with, the SABS, NRCS, and the taxi industry represented by SANTACO. The task team was also tasked to investigate whether the converted panel vans could be made safer, which is where the retrofitment came in. Chair, there was the memorandum submitted to the Minister of Transport on 31 December 2009 that recommended that those converted panel vans should be recalled and that the department should completely prohibit the conversion of goods carrying vehicles into passenger vehicles. But that memorandum was not approved by the then DG. They rather went to a retrofitment and they continued allowing conversions, but not illegal conversions, but conversions in terms of the provisions provided in the legislation to do so. The department also appointed a data gathering committee and a law enforcement committee relating to illegally converted paddle vans. And that committee established that there was at that time, in January 2010, 2,353 vehicles that were illegally converted. Then on 5 February 2010, the acting DG submitted another memorandum recommending the following: approval of a process to legalize the illegally converted panel vans, that would be the retrofitment, approve a media briefing on the process to legalize the illegally converted panel vans, and that memorandum was approved by the then Minister of Transport. Department officials confirmed that vehicle dealerships and financial institutions do have access to the NATA system to determine whether or not those vehicles were registered as a panel van or passenger carrying van. The official also indicated that the department or vehicle owners did not require specific buy-in or approval from the original manufacturer in order to effect a conversion or retrofitment, and that is still the case. In 2010, there was an undertaking by the department to assist taxi owners with illegally converted vehicles to retrofit these vehicles. The operators were given 6 months to come forward, and should they not make use of this window, they would face complete impound or scrapping of the vehicles. And then, obviously, that would have then fallen under the taxi recapitalization, or there was an attempt to make it fall under the taxi recapitalization program. Admin marking also then appeared on the NATA system, but that was only done from 2016 engagements onwards, more specifically indicated in 2018. This would allow officials to see on the system that a vehicle is illegally converted and should be blocked from renewing the license of such a vehicle. So, Chair, then again, the taxi recapitalization program was proposed or used by the department to try and address these concerns, either to do the retrofitment or the scrapping. The public protector also indicated in some of the recommendations that the department see whether and how they can further make use of that program to assist if there are any other illegally converted vehicles out there in the public transport sphere. So in a presentation made to the committee by the department on 4 September 2020, the department indicated there are still a number of these vehicles on the roads. A reconciliation by the department was completed and it was confirmed that a total of 1,916 vehicles still qualify for scrapping, provided that they are linked to a valid operating license. However, only 1,226 still have operating licenses attached to the vehicles. It is a prerequisite for scrapping under the recapitalization program for the vehicles to have an operating license. Once approved, that vehicle is scrapped with the permission of the operator, and an allowance of 124,000 was paid. But this scrapping allowance has since been increased to 129,700. A total of 478 vehicles have been received by the recapitalization program or the company that's running it, TRSA, for scrapping, and 382 operators have been paid. The balance is still in the process of being finalized. In addition to above, the committee has received allegations of various other alleged illegally converted vehicles, which may be used for purposes of ambulance services as well as transportation of workers. The subcommittee is therefore also granted leave, or was granted leave, to consider the and receive presentations on these allegations, despite the fact that the public protector report only focused on the panel van. So, Chair, the following section 2.2 is just a recap of the public protector report investigation and the key legislation that they took into account. Again, this was taken from the report. So they considered the NRTA, National Road Traffic Regulations, National Land Transport Act, National Regulator Compulsory Specifications Act, and the legislation that seeks to establish a regulator for compulsory specifications who will be responsible for the administration and maintenance of compulsory specifications and the implementation of regulatory and compliance systems. So that is linked to the NRCS as well as the SABS. So the Standards Act is the SABS Act. Then the Road Traffic Management Corporation Act was also pulled into the investigation, as well as obviously the Constitution, their own act, the compulsory specifications for motor vehicles of category M2 and M3 was also taken into account, as well as the South African National Standard on Homologation. Then Chair 2.3 reports annual events that occurred prior to the public protector investigation. This was just highlighted in the notes as well for members that there was a report of the working committee of the Standing Committee on Community Safety and the Standing Committee on Finance, Economic Development and 2010 World Cup on the investigation of Toyota Quantum panel vans into taxis that was dated 3 December 2010. There was also a Department of Transport memorandum to the minister recalling of converted Toyota Quantum panel vans. There was a MINMEC meeting progress report on illegal panel van conversions, and there was also an International Vehicle Identification Desk panel van to taxi conversion report. Other alleged illegal vehicle conversions, this is where we bring in some of the concerns on Ford Ranger conversions and other conversions that were seen. After the public protector's report was released, there was also various allegations made in the media that 70 new Ford Ranger vehicles had been blocked by a roadworthy testing station in Durban, as they had allegedly been converted into passenger carrying trucks. Furthermore, there was also allegations made that Toyota Quantum panel vans were illegally converted for purposes of being used as ambulances, and concerns were raised that these alleged illegal converted vehicles were being registered on the department's INATA system or NATA system in what were to appear to be a legitimate over-the-counter process. This could be dated back in the allegations to 2005 or from 2005. The same complainant that raised his initial complaints to the public protector, Mr. Henny De Beer, revealed to the City Press in February 2020 that many local ambulances have been converted from three-seater Toyota panel vans, and that that many of them have already resulted in deaths in South African roads. Toyota South Africa, on the other hand, denied that its panel vans are dangerous and told the City Press that ambulance conversions were approved by the National Regulator for Compulsory Specifications, adding that this practice was conducted around the world. Toyota also did touch on ambulance conversions in their presentation to the subcommittee. These allegations need to be put to the department, as well as other possible role players, and the subcommittee did seek to do this. Then, Chair, the subcommittee's objectives are taken from the terms of reference. So the subcommittee to consider viable relief measures that the department could implement in order to assist taxi operators who made bona fide purchases and discovered that they purchased illegally converted vehicles. Unpack policy and legal challenges related to the proposed use of the taxi recap program to address illegal vehicle conversions, while other vehicle owners who are not public transport operators do not receive any state assistance when their vehicles are found to have been illegally converted. Invite expert comment on the entire value chain involved in the life cycle of a vehicle, from manufacturing or retrofitment to financing to registration by the department, as well as how these aspects are regulated and monitored. Invite expert comment on how the NATA system works and how who has access to the data on the system and to what extent each user has access, as well as how the system is secured from manipulation or fraudulent data capturing. Invite comments from stakeholders on the allegations of illegally converted vehicles. as well as ambulances, determine from the department whether it has plans to address these additional allegations or determine what progress it has made to date in identifying these vehicles, and whether there's a process underway to remove them from the roads, identify and motivate criteria applicable to improve the manner in which the department keeps track of all vehicles used in the public transport sector or sphere in order to improve the safety of passengers, and make recommendations to the committee. Then chair the areas of work, again, taken from the terms of reference, consulting with experts, taking into account the public protector's report, consider whether the measures implemented and proposed for the department are sufficient in respect of the obligations by each stakeholder in the value chain, to unpack policy and legal challenges that may arise should the measures proposed by the department be implemented. Having considered the relevant policy and legal challenges, identify and motivate criteria for each vehicle or public transport or ambulance vehicle or people mover, including the target group of vehicle owners, vehicle registration requirements, vehicle financing requirements, vehicle modification and manufacturing specifications, manner in which the department seeks to assist taxi operators to limit their loss, and the manner in which the department will deal with other vehicle owners who may have illegally converted ambulances or people moving trucks in order to either retrofit them or scrap them. Having identified the criteria, develop a reporting timeframe for the department and make recommendations to the committee. Then, Chair, the presentations received. So the following section under this, we can call it a chapter three, just highlights the salient points in each of the presentations. So from the department, we just see that this is a broad outline on what the department presented. The presentation sought to provide an update and progress on the scrapping of illegally converted Toyota Quantum panel vans in compliance with the public protector's remedial actions. The department reported that it became aware of the issue in 2009. The taxi industry approached the then minister seeking intervention to assist the industry. On 11 February 2010, the minister approved a process of rectification through retrofitment. Data filtration was conducted and 2,353 vehicles were identified as legally converted panel vans. Of this number, only 436 were retrofitted, and the balance of the identified panel vans continued operating illegally. The public protector issued the report and remedial action on 27 March 2019, and in the department's understanding thereof, the remedial action for the department was that these panel vans must be scrapped through the TRP. Data extrapolation by the RTMC and TRSA, the service provider for scrapping, identified 1,916 panel vans that could qualify for scrapping. Only 1,226 had operating licenses and were eligible for scrapping. And of that number, only 503 submitted applications for scrapping since April 2019. So there is 723 still outstanding. In reporting an update on matters referred to the Special Investigation Unit regarding the illegal vehicle conversions, the department indicated that no report was received from the SIU with regard to compliance with matters related to the proclamation. In reporting on an update on progress made in addressing issues referred to the DG, the department indicated that on ensuring that measures taken and agreed to with the minister are implemented, the department has commenced with the redesign of the NLTIS, the National Land Transport Information System, to close gaps that may have been exploited. It engaged with the SIU to investigate the irregularities and manipulation of the system, and it is in the process of issuing a proclamation announcing the cutoff date for the grace period to qualify for the scrapping process. It further indicated that on ensuring that there is no Toyota panel van that has been legally converted into a minibus that is on the South African roads, and that all identified panel vans have been admin marked on the system and their licenses cannot be renewed. In reporting on the updates they've made to the system and other licensing systems, the department indicated the following: to integrate the system with the geographical information system, ensure interoperability within ARTIS, PAs with the relevant national, provincial, and municipal stakeholders to gather functional requirements, interface as far as possible with provincial systems kept at provinces, migrate data from historical systems like the land transport permit system into the new operating license administration system. The following was reported on progress to date on the redesign on the system, inclusion of the new modules for National Public Transport Regulation and the Transport Appeals Tribunal, amongst others, system design alignment to user requirement specifications, the NPTR, National Public Transport Regulator testing, and user acceptance testing and legitimate data migration and system testing. The following are still outstanding and activities related to the redesign of the system: migrating data from historical systems like the land transport permit system into the new operating license administration system, ensuring interoperability with other systems, such as INATIS, which is an NLTA requirement, interface with other systems such as SARS, Home Affairs, and SAPS, and a full system testing and implementation. In terms of the way forward, the department indicated that the minister committed to the following: engage with the technical committee, meet with Toyota South Africa to lobby for their contribution on resolving the challenge, meet with the SIU to expand their mandate on the current R37 proclamation investigating NLTIS regularities, and issue a proclamation setting a deadline for the discontinuation of use of the illegally converted panel van. Chair, then on 25 November, there was a meeting with RTMC. The department was also there for this. The RTMC highlighted INATIS and related areas, disciplinary action and work done to date, impoundment and notice to discontinue an illegally converted minibus vehicle numbers on their system. They indicated that there are 11,318 active INATIS users. The system makes provision for supervisors across all functions, and a segregation of duties exists both laterally, with different users to conclude a process, and vertically, users and supervisors to conclude a process. No information has been lost on the system since RTMC took control on 5 April 2017 from Tasima, and the information is backed up to two sites in near real time as per business continuity plan for INATIS. In terms of access to information on the system, RTMC indicates the following related to non-state institutions. The registered MIBs approved by the province concerned has access to introduce vehicle records and also can update records before they are sold and registered. Motor vehicle finance institutions and insurance companies have access to confirm vehicle ownership particulars and the latest model number of the vehicle. New services envisaged but are subject to publication of legislation in this regard, so that one is not accessible yet. And the matter is currently under discussion with the Department of Transport and Finance. In terms of access to information on the system, RTMC indicates the following links to vehicle testing stations. Vehicle testing stations have access to the minimum vehicle information to determine the minimum standards for the testing of the vehicle, and a proposal to enhance information to display multiple model numbers is currently underway. There's engagement with the NRCS and related stakeholders on the information to be captured for this. In terms of the system's ability to flag vehicles, they indicated that the system caters for administration marks that restrict the ability to transact on person or vehicle records. Administration marks can be set at registering authority or local level, as well as provincial and national level. Only a provincial entity can modify admin marks loaded at provincial level, and only a critical transaction center can modify admin marks loaded at a national level. Administration marks were not used for illegal modifications until 2017, where the department requested the RTMC to update the vehicles identified in the public protector report. RTMC also indicated the following requirements for record changes to the make, model, and series of vehicles. The required documents are contained in the minimum requirements for sensitive transactions. and our appropriate identification of the applicant, change or notice of particulars in respect of vehicle form, copy of manufacturer, importer or builder certificate, copy of request for police clearance, if modified by a non-MIB, letter of authority if modified by a non-MIB, mass measuring certificate, confirmation letter from examiner of vehicles, and sensitive transactions are reserved for provincial and national help desk. On the disciplinary action work done with other law enforcement agencies, RTMC reported on investigations of numerous officials done in Mpumalanga, Eastern Cape, Limpopo, and the Free State, on law enforcement steps undertaken to scrap and or impound vehicles identified as illegally converted vehicles. They indicated that in terms of impounding, the following offences can get a vehicle impounded: a parking offence, any vehicle deemed to be abandoned on a public road, a vehicle not displaying any form of identification, and buses and taxis can be impounded for not having permits or operating contrary to a permit. National government has a number of traffic laws that govern the country's roads, but each province is able to create their own regulations, and then these do sometimes differ from provinces. For example, the Western Cape put forward a proposal to repeal the National Road Safety Act of 1972 and replace it with their own traffic laws for impounding cars, which allowed the provincial MEC to set new regulations and penalties for serious traffic offences. Offences that may cause a vehicle to be towed include parking in the tow-away zone, ambulance or emergency service area, parking on a red line or no parking area, vehicles impounded at roadblocks, unroadworthy vehicles, drunk driving, illegal street raising, vehicles with missing or false number plates, driving a motor vehicle without a valid driver's license. In terms of scrapping, they indicated that the NRTA provides for a particular procedure for this, notify the vehicle's title holder at an appropriate registering authority, complete form CNP or MVR1A within 3 months to indicate that the motor vehicle has been permanently unfit for use, and submit the vehicle's registration certificate to the relevant registering authority. The Act is, however, not clear on scrapping of vehicles due to illegal conversions. Regarding illegally converted taxi recap program admin marks, and other conversion issues, they indicated that admin marks were placed on 2,168 vehicles for illegal conversions, and these marks restrict all transactions except licensing. However, then the vehicle is licensed. When the vehicle is licensed, a disc is not printed. That has to be when, not then. Over 42,000 vehicles are in live vehicle population that were introduced to NATA system as panel vans. However, it's not possible to determine which conversions are illegal, as model certificates are provided for the vehicles. The next meeting was the meeting with the Office of the Public Protector on 1 December. The Public Protector gave the committee an overview of the report, as well as indicated the limitations and scope of the investigation. The Public Protector responded to questions from members, but due to time constraints, the Public Protector could not respond to all questions of clarity for members, but undertook to provide written responses as well as the evidence relied on during the investigation. On 2 December, there was a meeting with the NRCS. The NRCS presentation's outline is indicated. And in terms of the Act, the NRCS could seek to achieve the following objectives. They can make recommendations to the Minister of Trade and Industry with regards to compulsory specifications, administration and maintenance of compulsory specifications, implementation of the regulatory and compliance systems, carry out market surveillance activities to monitor compliance with compulsory specifications, enforce compliance with compulsory specifications. They gave an overview of their powers of inspection, and they presented on their mandate within the automotive market and state that they are appointed as an inspectorate for MIBs in terms of the NRTA. And these duties include evaluate and recommend MIBs applicants for registration with the department, inspections of registered MIBs at least once a year, recommend for suspension and cancellation of registered MIBs that do not comply with legislation, issue model numbers to vehicle models being manufactured, built or imported if they comply with all relevant legislation, issue a certificate of compliance for minibus and minibus models approved for operating for reward, and issue a letter of authority for vehicles manufactured, imported, or built for private use. With regard to the conversion of panel vans, NRCS indicated all motor vehicles that are converted by a compulsory specification shall be manufactured in accordance with that VC. The MIB shall have their motor vehicles approved by NRCS before registration on NRCS, and the approved motor vehicle model shall be issued with a homologation or compliance certificate and an NRCS model number which allow registration of individual vehicles under the model so approved. Minibuses are converted under VC8023, which specifies minimum safety requirements for passenger carrying vehicles with total carrying capacity of more than 9 persons, including the driver, categorized as M2 motor vehicles. Ongoing compliance is monitored through market surveillance. In terms of the compliance test requirements, they indicate that the following: the converter must conduct tests as required in terms of VC8023 before making an application for approval. Additional safety tests to be conducted focused on the strength of seats and seats anchorage, restraining devices, strength of the superstructure and rollover protection, braking system, a type 2 test, safety glass fitted on windows, and the NRCS then verifies the seat arrangements and dimensions, load distribution calculations, and emergency exits and their dimensions. The approval process for panel van conversions: NRCS approves homologated vehicles by issuing the model or NRCS number to be used for registration, and the vehicles are approved on confirmation that they comply to VC8023. The process which NRCS goes through to confirm compliance: MIB submits sample vehicle to the NRCS for inspection. NRCS evaluates all the test reports in relation to the test done. If the NRCS is satisfied with the compliance documents, the vehicle conversion is approved and approval documents are issued to the MIB. The NRCS model numbers are then issued on approval. NRCS indicated the following with regard to the powers they have in an instance where the conversion of a motor vehicle does not meet the required specifications. According to the NRCS Act, they have the right to withdraw certificates issued should the approved vehicle models deviate from the requirements. They also recommend to the Department of Transport to admin mark the vehicle. That would make it impossible for transactions to be done on the vehicle. And in cases where MIBs are not registered, NRCS always recommend that they register in order to be able to introduce vehicles legally into the system. In terms of remedial action taken following the public protector report, they indicate there is a need to strengthen the relationship between themselves and the department through a renewal of the memorandum of understanding or agreement that seek to set out roles and responsibilities of each party and promote ongoing engagement through meetings where exchange of information of mutual benefit will take place. The NRCS issues a taxi recapitalization project certificate to all compliant vehicle models to be used as taxis. A list of these models is issued to the department and other stakeholders wherever there is an update, and the department will only register vehicles whose NRCS numbers are listed on the TRP list as taxis. If the vehicle model is not listed, it cannot be registered as a taxi. For panel van conversion control, they indicate that despite the challenge of them being at the source where conversions of each individual panel van take place, they've implemented the following control measures. Any registered MIB converting a panel van must first obtain support in the form of homologation support documents from the original equipment manufacturer, enforce the prohibition of conversion of panel vans to taxis by non-registered MIBs as stipulated in the NRTA regulations. No letter of authority shall be issued for a minibus taxi converted from a panel van by an unregistered MIB. All registered MIBs identified as specializing in the conversion of panel vans are now classified as high risk, which implies high inspection frequency and effort to ensure ongoing compliance. Members were of the view that the presentation of the NRCS was generic and did not speak specifically to the illegal conversions in question and the role and function of NRCS as it relates to these. Then on 17 February, there was a follow-up meeting with NRCS, SABS, and the Department of Trade and Industry. After the introduction by the Department of Trade and Industry and competition, the officials of SAPS and NRCS gave overviews of their presentations as tabled before the committee. The DTIC indicated the policy perspective as follows. The SABS and NRCS report to the DTIC. Government set up these entities with a mandate to assist local industry production, export of local products, as well as the protection of the public from unsafe products that may be placed in the national market. In many instances, the entities are directed by policy owning department in carrying out their work. As the public sector recommended, there is scope to improve how delegated work is carried out by these entities. The department is the policy owner for safety of vehicles in terms of the National Road Traffic Act. The NRCS is mandated by the department to be the inspectorate of MIBs and has specific compulsory specifications that are promulgated under the NRCS Act that relate to different categories of vehicles. And these specifications are used to implement the mandate from the department. The SABS, through the Standards Act, develops the standards that set out the technical requirements for the vehicles to adhere to. These standards become mandatory when referenced in a regulation. In this instance, the relevant compulsory specifications from the NRCS. The SABS is also an accredited service provider to both industry and regulators in terms of testing compliance of a product against certain standards where SABS has the capability to test. This is a contractual agreement between SABS and its clients. The SABS presented on their legislative mandate, how they work with NRCS, as well as the differences between the two entities, and indicated that the South African national standards are voluntary standards. The services of SABS, except for the development, promotion, and maintenance of South African national standards, are commercial in nature, and they compete with other commercial entities to render testing and certification services. In practice, the NRCS relies on independent third-party conformity assessment service providers, such as the SABS or any other accredited facility, to render conformity assessment services. There is not an exclusive relationship between the SABS and NRCS with regards to the purpose of rendering conformity assessment services. The role played by SABS in the retrofitment process. The SABS could only have been limited to offering testing services. They tested vehicle samples received from SA Taxi Finance, a subsidiary of the SA Taxi Development Finance, PTY Ltd. This appears to be the extent of the SABS's involvement in the matter. Then at the time of the test conducted by SABS regarding these vehicles, that was the minimum requirements for the safety test, and could more or different stringent tests have been requested by the department? The SABS indicated that the testing services are underpinned by official SANS compulsory specifications and regulation tests are conducted as per the customer's request. It is important to note that the SABS is not a regulator. It remains the responsibility of the relevant regulator to ensure that any test report is sufficient, or that the tests conducted are sufficient for the approval. In this case, SABS conducted tests as per the following SANS and regulations. SANS 1563, 2005, which was the strength of a large passenger vehicle superstructure, the rollover protection test. The SANS 1430-2007, anchorages for restraining devices in motor vehicles, and the 28 degree tilt test, which is based on regulation 262 of the National Road Traffic Act. The exact date of when the SABS became aware that Toyota condemned the conversions is not clear. However, such condemnation would not have been of any consequence to the SABS for the following reasons. They do not possess any legal authority to regulate the conversion of vehicles, and they could not exercise any power in relation to the decision to or not to convert vehicles. The department has submitted, as per the public sector report, that the process of retrofitment did not require authorization by the original manufacturers, as the process of modifying a second-hand vehicle was legal in terms of the National Road Traffic Act. Without expressing any opinion on the submission by the department, the view held by the DOT explains why the retrofitment of conversions were done without the approval of Toyota SA. Yet the SABS, as per its mandate, develops, promotes and maintains South African national standards. They do not set safety specifications for specific brands. They do not set safety specifications. SABS does not have powers to issue minimum safety specifications for vehicle conversions from panel vans to people carriers. It is not a regulator and as such does not have any legal powers to enforce a recall of vehicles. The retrofitment of vehicles does not fall within their mandate and as such they have no power to regulate that practice. The NRCS sought to clarify concerns raised in the previous meeting by improving their presentation. In addition to the information previously presented, they also indicated that vehicles already operating on public roads must be dealt with in terms of Section 44, 87 and 89 of the NRTA, which vests powers of the law enforcement authority, such as RTMC, to impound such vehicles that are not roadworthy. On the requirements for new taxi vehicles, under the taxi recap program, the NRCS indicated that in or around October 2006, the DOT introduced the taxi recap program in order to replace the existing taxis with NTVs. The implementation date for issuing model numbers to NTVs was 1 January 2008. This was applicable for 9 to 35 seater vehicles, not applicable for private and touring vehicles. The NTVs enhanced safety requirements included compliance with the compulsory specification VC8023 and additional requirements not covered by VC8023 were introduced in the road traffic regulations. The additional requirements for NTVs included the following: strength of seats and seat anchorage, prohibition of fold-up seats and middle front seats, seat dimensions, privacy partitioning, sideway tilt test of the vehicle at an angle of at least 28 degrees in either direction from the upright position without overturning while each seat is loaded with a mass of 68 kilograms. Restraining device, safety belts and the anchorages, safety glass fitted for windows, emergency exits, entrance and exits, passageways, side and rear reflective marking and 100 kilometer hour speed limit sticker, notice of load or number of passengers, strength of the superstructure, rollover protection device, and braking systems. The NRCS indicates where it becomes involved in the registration process of NTVs and MIBs. The MIB shall manufacture, import, or modify a vehicle, ensure compliance to the applicable legislation, regulations, and compulsory specifications, present a sample vehicle and certification documents to the NRCS for approval. The NRCS shall verify compliance of the sample vehicle, issue approval or compliance certificate, and Inatus model specific to the model design. The NRCS mandate and responsibility ends with the issuance of the approval or compliance certificate and Inatus model number specific to the model design, the registration process and ensuring compliance of vehicles on public road is the responsibility of MIB, the department, RTMC and law enforcement authorities. The NRCS became aware of illegal Toyota Quantum panel van conversions in June 2008. In order to deal with illegal activities regarding import and export of motor vehicles, the International Trade Administration Commission commissioned a working group, which comprised of stakeholders, amongst others, the SABS, the SABS's regulatory division, which is now the NRCS, SARS, SAPS, Department of Transport, SIU, International Vehicle Identification Desk. The problems as identified required a focused task team because of the fact that such problems were outside the mandate of the working group. The modified taxi subgroup started the engagements from mid-August 2008, and the NRCS is aware of 2,353 illegally converted panel vans. Following the department's media release, the NRCS embarked on a two-week inspection blitz across all provinces. and a total of 43 dealerships, 11 registered MIBs and 2 unregistered MIBs, and 50 taxi ranks were inspected, which was a total of 212 vehicles. Some registered builders for the minibus category were found to be involved in illegal conversions. Most dealerships were found to be in partnership with either registered or non-registered builders who carry out illegal conversions, and non-compliant Toyota Quantums, which were converted, were predominantly registered in the NATA system as panel vans. Most converted Toyota panel vans could be registered without valid NATA model numbers, and none of the registered builders converting Toyota panel vans were TRP certified by NRCS except Toyota as an importer of the Quantum minibuses. Unregistered builders operating in the backyards were also involved in illegal conversion of Toyota panel vans. The SIU undertook to further investigate the alleged corruption in relation to registration of illegally modified taxis at the Vereniging Licensing Office, and they reported that they found poor administration and incomplete documents at that licensing office. The NRCS suggested that the definition of modified as it appeared in the Road Traffic Act should be changed in order to include other categories of motor vehicles and not just buses. The suggestion was an attempt to close the loophole where taxi operators were using taxi vehicles under the banner of long distance or group touring vehicles, although they were operating these as taxis. NRCS conducted a number of inspections that focused on taxis during 2008. And this led to the linking the model numbers of one of the biggest converters of panel vans, being Ngeni Auto Trimmers, which they did into taxis, as they had did not have the compliance certificate for the TRP program. Two other MIBs being Taxis R Us and Peterson's Taxi Vault. They were inspected. They did not have model numbers for converted taxis operating under the TRP. However, they had model numbers issued for converted 16-seater minibuses not intended for use as taxi recapitalization vehicles. Further efforts to de-link their model numbers were legally challenged because these two MIBs converted the vehicles legally within the requirements of compulsory specifications, and such vehicles also fell outside of the requirements of the TRP. In January 2009, the industry reported some of the modified taxis were involved in accidents. All conversions were registered during January 2009, were admin marked as a means to prohibit them from operating as their licenses could not be renewed. It was assigned to the department as the custodian of the road safety legislation, whilst the NRCS and industry were requested to provide assistance. It was also requested that all modified panel vans that were at the dealer's floor should be admin marked and all information regarding such vehicles sent to the department. In November 2008, the KZN Department of Transport withdrew the operating licenses and demanded that the inspected taxis that were seized by SAPS in Richards Bay in November 2008 should be modified and brought to be compliant with the legislation before reinstatement of the operating licenses. The requirements for corrections of illegally converted Quantum panel vans were finalized and approved by the department in September 2009, followed by the required testing that was conducted by SABS and Girotech. The project to retrofit or correct the illegally converted taxis was announced by the department started 1 March 2010. The TFM Manufacturing and MIB, who was involved with the preparation of the test samples, then made an application for approval to NRCS. And NRCS granted an approval, and the two NATIS model numbers were issued for modified Quantum taxis that met the requirements pronounced and approved. Again, NRCS did not conduct the test as it falls outside of their mandate. The process outlined that each illegally converted Quantum panel van would be taken to TFM, who would then do the modifications as per the approved requirements. Once the modifications were completed, NRCS would inspect each model and issue a letter of authority. The details, such as contact numbers, names, VIN and year model of the illegally converted Quantum panel vans into taxis identified, were kept with the department's help desk. Each owner had the responsibility of contacting the department help desk and delivering their vehicle to TFM. NRCS would be called in to inspect the completed vehicle and then issue the LOA. and then the vehicle would go through the registration process. During the period of 2010 to 2014, according to the LOA database, 331 LOAs were issued for vehicles that were presented to the NRCS. This implies that about 2,022 of the identified illegally converted panel vans did not receive LOAs from the NRCS. In response to the public protector findings, the NRCS wanted to indicate that they conduct annual inspections on registered MIB based on risk identified due to limited resources. On average, over 1,000 MIBs are inspected annually. Where non-compliance with the relevant requirements have been identified, they de-link model numbers. At the time of identifying illegally converted panel vans, they were already registered and operating on the roads without the required approval in respect of safety regulation for vehicles operating for reward. The department approved the process to rectify this, and the process identified safety critical parts and systems that the vehicle had to be modified in order to meet the requirements. Taxis were then tested according to those, and the test report showed that the modifications, the modified taxis met the safety requirements, but this applies to the vehicles that were retrofitted and applied for the NRCS LOA. Whilst the process to rectify the illegally modified panel van was approved by the department, SANS 10267 was not considered in the process. SANS 10267 is also not mandated by any legislation and remains a national voluntary standard unless called in by an act or regulation. Again, there were 2,353 illegally converted taxis identified. Only the department and RTMC have access to the vehicle registration system, which implied that they were able to detect the vehicles that were re-registered and those that were not yet re-registered. NRCS could not have individually detected these vehicles. It does not keep records of each individual registered or deregistered vehicle. They could not invoke their powers in terms of Section 17 to deal with the vehicles already operating on the roads, as those have to be dealt with by the other sections that are linked to the RTMC. The NRCS have no control over individual vehicle registration processes. In the view of the NRCS, all the illegally converted quantum panel vans were also illegally registered as they did not have the necessary approval. NRCS has always been responsive and inspected all the legalized modified quantum taxis and issued letters of authority. The vehicles that are not designed to operate for reward, such as those used for private purposes and as exempted from the department, the touring vehicle need not comply with the additional TRP requirements. Any converted vehicle which satisfies the requirements of the compulsory specification and supported by the homologation support document issued by the original manufacturer may be approved and issued with a model number upon confirmation by NRCS. Toyota had in the past provided the homologation support document in support of modified quantum panel vans. NRCS conducted an inspection of Peter's taxi vault in 2008, and their attempt to de-link the model number was challenged. Again, as indicated above, the NRCS is currently reviewing the compulsory specifications for the TRP requirements, and they will be included in the compulsory specifications as well. Remedial action as per paragraph 8.3 of the report is for the Minister of the DTIC to take urgent and effective steps to harness and foster good, effective and efficient working relationships between these entities. The NRCS proactively concluded an MOU with SAPS on 29 October 2019, the purpose being to strengthen the relationship between the entities as well as establish the manner in which parties interact with each other in dealing with matters of mutual interest. The strengthened relationship to strengthen the relationship between the NRCS and the department would be through the renewal of the MOU that seeks to set out roles and responsibilities for each party and promote ongoing engagement through meetings where exchange of information of mutual benefit will take place. Then also the NRCS has dedicated a team of inspectors who focuses on the complaints handling, investigations, audit of registered MIBs, over 90 trailer manufacturers that were inspected. One modifier of a panel van into passenger carrying van is currently being investigated, and all vehicle builders or modifiers have been identified for purpose of inspections during the current and next financial year. As was recommended, the requirements for passenger carrying vehicles should be standardized, regardless of whether the vehicle is operated for reward or private purposes. All modifications of motor vehicles are now required to have homologation support documents from the OEMs, which authorize the modifiers or builders to carry on with the second tier vehicle approval. And NRCS is busy with the revision of the registration of MIB standards, SANS 10319, which addresses the requirements. The review of compulsory specifications is to introduce conformity of production requirements, level of requirements with the National Road Traffic Act, mandate the requirements of both the national standards on registration of MIBs and homologation of motor vehicles, and to include mandatory product recall requirements. Then on 24 February, there was a meeting with Toyota. Toyota gave an outline, the first Toyota Quantum panel van when they were imported in March 2015. And to date, there were 16,735 of them imported into South Africa. Toyota gave the various recommended retail prices for the different models. The NRCS recognizes conversions by bodybuilders, and Toyota has no control or influence over the applicable regulatory compliance process. Toyota has approved a panel van conversion to an ambulance for the Department of Health, and the approval process is rigid and is indicated as follows. The ambulance conversion specification is given to TSAM via the RT57, and this defines the ambulance requirements. TSAM will conduct verification tests parallel to the activity mentioned above. The bodybuilder will conduct regulatory tests as stipulated in the NRCS standards for passenger safety. In terms of certification, they indicate that the bodybuilder will then submit the manufacturer's test report together with regulatory tests to the NRCS and apply for vehicle classification to be changed from goods carrying to passenger carrying. Once the NRCS has approved that conversion, the NRCS code will be issued, and that will enable the converted ambulance to be classified as a passenger carrying model. Then Toyota SA indicated that they first became aware of illegal conversions of panel vans in 2005, and they indicated the following steps were taken. On 20 May 2009, TSAM issued a directive to SAPS, NRCS, and the department, clearly confirming that TSAM has not and will not issue letters of authority for conversions of Toyota Quantum panel vans into Toyota Quantum Sesfikile or other passenger carrying variants. This is due to the fact that the panel van is a commercial vehicle and designed to carry goods. On October 2009, Toyota informed its dealers and other role players, as well as SAPS, NRCS, and the International Vehicle Identification Desk, that it did not in any way support any illegal conversions. They continued to reiterate the stance up to, until 2009. A press release was issued on 8 March 2010, where they again confirmed that they in no way condone the conversion of panel vans into taxis. It is submitted that Toyota's position has always been clearly communicated. Their actions within their control was pursuant to becoming aware of illegal conversions, and this confirmed that it strongly condemned such practices. They took steps that were necessary and within their legally allowed to address. Toyota is not a regulator for purposes of registration, and that view was acknowledged by the public protector. The onus was on the department and the NRCS to monitor and check that the registration of these vehicles are in accordance to the classification of the vehicle. The above was included in Toyota's submissions to the public protector. Steps taken by Toyota after learning that some of the converted vehicles were approved for retrofitment. Firstly, a communication was issued to TSAM dealers dated 12 December 2005, where they stated that the modification is not acceptable to TSAM and the warranty terms will be cancelled on all vehicles so modified. TSAM issued a further notice on 9 October 2008 confirming an extensive investigation being conducted and that illegal conversions shall not be condoned. CEO to highlight it to all stakeholders that the illegal conversions did not comply with standard homologation and all registration requirements for the vehicle to be used as a commercial taxi, and Toyota further communicated to all stakeholders that it did not endorse sale of quantum panel vans to companies or operators that seek to control panel vans or convert panel vans into taxi vans by non-approved MIBs. All Toyota dealers were also alerted to this. In the interest of safety, Toyota offered engineering support for vehicles that could be converted according to the taxi recap specification. The measures put in place by Toyota to mitigate illegal conversions from 2005 to 2009, they specifically communicated and actioned what was reasonably expected at the time. The expectation to do better in informing the public during the period was acknowledged. Toyota is not in a position to consent to the general conversion of goods carrying vehicles into passenger carrying vehicles unless approval from their parent company. In support of mitigating illegal conversions, Toyota ensured that it did not provide the manufacturer's approval document. Toyota ensured that dealers were fully aware of their obligations and are evaluated by the terms and conditions of the dealer agreement. Dealers were also made aware that breach of their obligations in terms of that agreement would result in disciplinary action and termination of the dealer agreement. In general, Toyota continued to support the department and NRCS with any queries. Toyota has taken every precaution and is committed to ensuring compliance with the legislation, and they continue to make every effort ensuring that the dealers do not participate in illegal conversion. The presentation and the CEO of Toyota responded to questions and comments from members and undertook to provide the subcommittee with written responses to the additional questions, as well as indicated they would be open to further engagements. Then on 3 March, there was another follow-up meeting with NRCS, SAPS, and the DTIC. SAPS provided the committee or undertook to provide the committee with test reports of the test alleged to have been done for retrofitment. On 10 March, there was a meeting with NAMSA and a scheduled meeting with the Banking Association of South Africa, but the Banking Association meeting did not take place. The CEO of NAMSA provided an overview of their presentation. They were informed of illegal conversions during a technical task team meeting in 2009. It was raised with Toyota, and NAMSA represents 13 manufacturers, importers, and distributors of panel vans in South Africa. However, the illegal conversion of panel vans into minibus taxis was canvassed only with Toyota and not with any of the other manufacturers. The proper illegal conversion of panel vans is part of the manufacturing process, provided that such conversions have passed the necessary homologation testing requirements as prescribed. The test has been indicated before, that is just repeated by NAMSA. All their members have registered with RT57 and worked with the Department of Health to convert panel vans into ambulances. NAMSA members participated in all stakeholder technical task team committee meetings since 2009. There were no stakeholder engagement sessions in the past 4 years, as indicated by NAMSA. The last stakeholder meeting was held in 2016, and they do not have the statistics of the number of meetings attended by NAMSA and its members with the department. All legal conversions were homologated through the NRCS as people carriers, and these would reflect as such on NATIS. Their members do not have access to vehicle owner personal information. Their members do not sell illegally converted vehicles and were unaware of any of their members' MIBs doing illegal conversions. Then, Chair, to get to the nitty-gritty of the observations, the members made the following observations during discussions. The department was asked to respond in writing to the following matters. The number of vehicles identified as illegal conversions that have been impounded, including the breakdown per province, the department was asked to verify the numbers that was provided by the DG in the committee meeting on 4 September 2020 and the numbers presented in the meeting with the subcommittee. the date that the proclamation calling for owners of these legally converted vehicles to apply for scrapping would be published and when it would come into effect. In terms of the proclamation, the department was asked to further elaborate on the matters that it expected the taxi industry to implement, whether it was done, and whether there was an enforcement plan in place. The timeframes by when the targets on the redesign of the NLTIS project would be reached. The department was asked to expand on how and when it became aware of the legal conversions. The department was asked to provide the committee with a full update on SIU feedback as it wanted updated information on the investigation. The department should supply written information on what their retrofitting process involved. The subcommittee was of the view that the department was not alarmed or shocked about learning of the vehicle conversions and confined itself to the public protecting recommendations. This would lead one to conclude that it was merely a tick box exercise for the department, and this was of concern as there was no sense of urgency to resolve this matter. There was a need to hold regular meetings with the department to resolve this issue and protect the users of public transport. And with regard to the RTMC, the subcommittee agreed to engage with the RTMC again going forward after it held meetings with the other relevant stakeholders. There were concerns raised on whether it would be possible to determine the extent of illegal panel van conversions currently by looking at the information on NATIS, as well as whether the NATIS system remains open to manipulation of vehicle data. The RTMC was questioned about the ability to determine from the NATIS data whether vehicles are illegally converted or legally converted and how the entity and the department are working together to remove illegal conversions from the roads. RTMC would be required to report back on progress into investigations of fraudulent transactions on the NATIS system. There seems to be dissenting views on where the power and function resides to perform physical inspections of converted vehicles in order to determine whether these are legal or illegal conversions and whether this resides with the RTMC or the NRCS. The RTMC was asked to indicate whether they are working with SARS to reduce VAT losses through incorrect vehicle registration. The RTMC was requested to provide more information on the access and powers for municipal and provincial administrations, administrations to NATIS. With regard to the engagement with the public protector, the subcommittee noted that the jurisdiction of the public protector was limited to investigate government departments and organs of state, and the office could therefore not investigate private companies, which is why there were no findings regarding the financing houses or the vehicle manufacturers other than Toyota. It was noted that the public protector suggested that the subcommittee collect information from the SIU regarding the progress on the fraudulent registration of vehicle investigation. The subcommittee welcomed the undertaking by the public protector to provide replies in writing as well as copies on evidence relied upon during the investigation that the office conducted to assist in the subcommittee's consultations and investigation. With regard to the NRCS, SAPS and DTIC, the subcommittee agreed to schedule follow-up meetings with NRCS. The SAPS and DTIC would also be invited to these. The NRCS specific, during the first engagement with the subcommittee, the members found that the presentation by the NRCS was very generic and did not speak to the illegal panel van conversions in question and on what the NRCS did to remedy this. It was noted that at the time this issue was highlighted in 2009, the NRCS was not established when the illegal conversions took place before 2009, but was only established in 2008 and was a division under SAPS. The limited capacity indicated by the NRCS was noted, as well as the alleged regulatory shortcomings that led to the illegally converted vehicles being on the road. The retrofitment conversions were done according to the safety standards in place at the time. There was a task team created by the department, NRCS banks, and the vehicle industry. The NRCS took proactive steps to review the process for homologation of converted vehicles, also taking steps to rectify the issues with their MOA, with the department, and the challenge that there is no formal letter of appointment of the NRCS, but only one for SAPS. They also recommended and initiated the process for revision of standards administered in the SANS 10319 and registration of MIBs in order to close identified gaps and introduce conformity of protection. The number of vehicles identified in the process by the department of 2,353 were already on the road, whereas the NRCS used legislation at the time of the vehicles coming into the market. The NRCS could NRCS work ends when they issue model numbers to the vehicles. The process to convert or legalize conversion is approved by the department in terms of their requirements in regulations to the Act. The NRCS will inspect the vehicles and issue letters of authorization if they are converted to the requirements and specifications, as well as the taxi recapitalization program regulations. This is done irrespective of the manufacturer objection thereto, as the legislation at the time did not require the approvals of conversions. Specific to SAPS, SAPS followed the tests for the standards linked to the vehicles in place at the time. The setting of these standards are by consensus. SAPS indicated that the tests for the retrofitted vehicles were requested by SA Taxi Finance, not the department. The vehicles tested complied to the requirements in place at the time. For the DTIC specifically, the initial presentation fell short of what was expected from the members. The DTIC was requested to submit a more comprehensive presentation. It was noted that the DTIC were working on identifying and filling the gaps in the regulatory space along with the department. They are undergoing a technical infrastructure integration process, as the entities of NRCS and SAPS must mutually reinforce each other in the work they perform. The DTIC support the areas identified by the public protector for them to work on, engage on with the department in order to ensure their policies align. The NRCS and SAPS review the MOA with the department. At a technical level, it was noted that they have a new project, Safer Vehicles 2025, involving all stakeholders, including the department and other role players. There's currently no mechanism in place to close the gap to ensure that illegally converted vehicles or vehicles converted for private use do not make it onto the market for use as public transport vehicles. And this is an area that needs to be revisited. This will also require additional resources in order to allow NRCS to perform sufficient inspection. The subcommittee noted with concern that the DTIC, NRCS, and SAPS were not aware of the National Road Traffic Amendment Bill currently before Parliament, which in part seeks to improve MIB regulation. The DTIC indicated that the lead department responsible for addressing the concerns over illegal vehicle conversions was the Department of Transport. Since 2009, the DTIC and the department engaged on a number of issues, including the retrofitment and conversions. Currently, the policy still stands that there is a two-pronged approach, which allows some MIBs to be monitored and inspected and others not to be registered. The subcommittee was of the view that the DTIC failed in its oversight role to ensure that the MOA gaps were closed. They agreed with the presenters that the system is broken. There's a lot to be done in the policy space, and there is a need to see whether the NRT amendment bill before the committee could assist in resolving these issues. With regard to NAMSA and BASA, BASA was not available for the scheduled meeting. NAMSA indicated that the industry is working to improve the standards used for homologation in terms of the Safer Cars 2025 project. They do not condone illegal conversions of panel vans. They have acted on recommendations made in the report to ensure they get to a better place without overstepping their mandate. It was noted that NAMSA was of the view that consumers should perform their own due diligence in making vehicle purchases, but the subcommittee was of the view that they should consider how they can assist consumers to be protected when they purchase vehicles from NAMSA member companies. NAMSA does not have access to INATIS, and this was an inadequacy to the system, as access thereto may assist in building safeguards and to ensure information is shared with buyers and that the information is correct. NAMSA indicated that the Western Cape government is currently not allowing converted vehicles to be issued with operating licenses, but if conversions are to be banned, this would require a change in the legislation allowing for this. With regard to Toyota South Africa, it was noted that they had a meeting with the department in February 2021 and that they are in the process of working on a way in which Toyota South Africa can assist the department per the public protector remedial action. Toyota was adamant that panel van chassis were not adequate to take anchor points for seats and seat belts to be modified into passenger vehicles, and this would cost far more than the 18,000 indicated. They did not agree to further modifications. They did provide engineering assistance to the department once they called for retrofitments, but this offer was not taken up. These conversions, in their view, were not adequate, and in their view, scrapping of the vehicles remained the best solution, as retrofitment would not be safely possible. With regard to ambulance conversions, There was a rigorous process undergone for those supplied by Toyota South Africa, but it must also be noted that these vehicles would also only carry three people. With regard to the additional information requested by the subcommittee, it had to be noted that the requested test report for retrofitment from SAPS was not supplied, as well as the requested written responses and evidence relied upon for the report from the public protector were not supplied. These replies were intended to be included in the final report by the portfolio committee. Then the subcommittee recommendations. The subcommittee proposes the following recommendations to be considered by the portfolio committee. From the engagements, there appears to be a number of linkages of issues identified to the National Road Traffic Act, and the Portfolio Committee is currently considering an amendment bill to the Act. There may be a need for the committee to consider whether the current proposed amendments address the issues identified, not being clear on scrapping of vehicles due to illegal conversions, as well as an improved regulation of MIBs and stricter provisions or requirements for vehicle conversions. And if they do not, whether the committee would want to extend the scope of the amendment bill or wait for the department to introduce new amendments to address these concerns. The subcommittee, having considered the presentations received, seeks to submit this report as an initial report and is of the view that further engagements may be required to determine the full extent of illegally converted vehicles on South African roads and propose possible remedial steps that should be taken to remedy any further gaps that may be identified in the current legislation and regulations linked to vehicle conversions. Subcommittee was also of the view that future vehicle conversions should only be allowed if the vehicle manufacturer indicates that the vehicle can be converted for the new proposed use and that the vehicle safety inspections for especially public transport vehicles must be updated and brought in line with current requirements. The subcommittee recommends that the Minister of Transport ensure that the department finalize and publish the Gazette proclamation with a clear deadline for scrapping of illegally converted vehicles. The department improve its communication with NRCS, SAPS and DTIC and strengthen and finalize the MOA to ensure MIBs and vehicle testing stations comply with legal conversions and are regularly inspected for compliance. The department considers the economic and industry impact that would result from the subcommittee proposal to prevent future vehicle conversions if the vehicle manufacturers do not agree to the specific vehicle conversion. This must also take into account the economic impact due to the loss of lives in public transport road collisions resulting from unroadworthy vehicles or illegally converted vehicles. The subcommittee recommends that the Minister of the DTIC ensure that the department work with the NRCS and SAPS to improve and update compulsory specifications for the automotive industry with specific reference to public transport vehicles for purposes of this report. The NRCS improve the regulatory and compliance system and increase market surveillance activities and inspections to monitor compliance with compulsory specifications and improve the enforcement thereof. Subcommittee recommends that the taxi industry ensure that the industry alert their members of the fact that illegal vehicle conversions are a safety risk and a risky investment. The industry must work with the department on improving the uptake of the DRP and call on their members who own illegally converted vehicles to work with or submit these for scrapping. The industry must work with DTIC, NRCS and SAPS in setting of the compulsory specifications for vehicles used for the transportation of passengers as used by the industry to ensure improved safety of their passengers, drivers and the vehicles they invested in. Chair, that is in a very long breath, the 47-page report by the subcommittee.
Can we allow you to drink water, Advocate? I'm sure you are used to these things as an advocate. Thank you very much for presenting this report. You say 47 report. I don't know what that means. It means, is it a big report, Advocate?
Yes, Chief, 47 pages is a lot to go through.
Okay, I've seen a lot more than that. presented with passion, but I think for the sake of this portfolio committee, let me agree with you and thank you very much for presenting this report with passion. Let me hear from the portfolio committee members, or maybe before, let me just check with the chairperson of the subcommittee and the members if there's anything that is left, then we'll take it from there. Let me see hands of honorable members. Mutula Stulo, and you'll be followed by honorable member Hansinger and honorable member Lawrence McDonald, and as well as the honorable member Stoy. In that order, please.
Okay, Chicken.
Thank you very much. Maybe it would be fair as I opened the report that I allow other colleagues who were in the committee to make their input so that I don't monopolize this. It was an effort, a collective effort. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chambers.
Thank you also for the new look, Chair. I see you came back very new. Well done, Chair.
Honorable Hansinger. that one is an old photo.
You are highly recognizable, Chair, in every form that you appear, as the lovely person that you are. Chairperson, first and foremost, I would like to just point to two corrections. The one is of technical nature and the other one is of factual nature. On page 31, there's a mention of accidents, which I would propose need to be changed to crashes. And on page 33, mention is made of Peterson's, but it's spelled wrongly. So if those two corrections can be made, Chairperson, I propose that this report be accepted. But my contribution is in support of the request for this subcommittee to continue its work. Chairperson, initially the Public Protector Report 37 of 1819 was an analysis and exploratory in nature. It was based on our work and the content of the report, and it is now clear after having interviews with a lot of entities, as was mentioned in this very well represented 47 pages, that the scope needs to be extended. It needs to be extended beyond the one vehicle make that was under investigation, because it is clear that other makes have also engaged in this practice. Also that the volume of illegally converted vehicles currently on the road is much more. But it also would then involve, in terms of the request then, to expand the mandate of this continued subcommittee's work in areas of insurance and finance, which we haven't really touched on in the processing of the facts represented in this report. Secondly, Chairperson, the scope needs to be expanded beyond public transport, because it is now clear that ambulances need to be included, but also tourist sightseeing vehicles, and then more specifically labor transporters would also need to be included, since there is a clear presence of an increased volume of these types of vehicles. Thirdly, Chairperson, in terms of a solution, it is clear that we need to formulate recommendations to this Mother Portfolio Committee beyond the remedies which has been suggested by the Public Protector. It is very clear that the taxi recap is not an adequate solution and that we need to investigate areas beyond that. It is also quite clear, Chairperson, that our regulation and legislation should be bolstered. We need further engagement in this regard, particularly around improving our legislation. We need further engagement with the Department of Trade and Industry together with our Department of Transport to then seek particular direction around bolstering our current legislation. The remedies definitely also fall short of permanent solutions. So therefore, Chairperson, I would want to support the request of the subcommittee as a member of this committee in seeking permission from the Mother Portfolio Committee to then continue our work. I would want to just commend the leadership of our chairperson, who has led us well, and for the good work that we could produce to this stage. The base work definitely underpins a valuable set of content. The expanded scope will definitely improve insight and also improved understanding of this phenomenon. And I'm convinced that the outcome will then generate an important reference document which will equip this principal committee adequately for further direction and decisions. I therefore support the request for the committee to continue its work then with an expanded mandate from your leadership as the chairperson of this committee. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Hunsinger. Honorable Lawrence McDonald.
Thank you, Mangete, Chairperson.
I also recognize the new look.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I want to add my voice in thanking the chairperson of the subcommittee for steering the ship. Also to all the support staff, especially Advocate Alma Nell for the report. But Chairperson, I want to just highlight some things in support of our request to continue the work, Chairperson. Chairperson, currently due to lack of legislation and holes in legislation and the NRCS totally not doing their work. We have companies like Harmony Mines that are transporting workers in the back of trucks. Actually, it's a truck and trailer buses that have been converted. And it seems like it's become a norm in this country where whenever black people and poor people are being transported, the safety regulations are just thrown out of the bus and it's done willy-nilly in any way that they feel like. Chairperson, I just wanted to remind us that South Africa is a signatory to the TRIPS and Paris Conventions, which does not allow us to change things like intellectual property without the permission of the person or company that has designed the intellectual property. Chairperson, as much as Toyota South Africa and Nissan South Africa and all of these are washing their hands in this, none of them have actually spoken the truth. Chairperson, none of them have got permission from Toyota Japan or Nissan Japan for the homologation of these vehicles. They continue doing it on a work. You know, Chairperson, I've been researching a bit during this recess, and just also on a serious note, Nissan South Africa and Toyota South Africa in their factories are using these vehicles to transport their own workers. Nissan South Africa and Toyota South Africa have got divisions within their factories that deal with government exclusively on these ambulances. In 2010, Fabi Force, in 15th of February in 2010, Fabi Force of Toyota South Africa explicitly said, every Toyota Quantum conversion is a potential time bomb. But Chairperson, they continue doing it. The ambulances on the road, on the Western Cape, the Eastern Cape, the Free State, the Northern Cape, have got illegally converted panel vans. You go to Nissan South Africa's own brochure, their own brochure that they send out to their customers. And these are the panel vans that they are converting to ambulances. And on their brochure, they say, any conversion to panel vans for the purposes of carrying people or for any other reason whatsoever will not be approved by Nissan South Africa. But Chairperson, the ambulances are being sold to government. To the Free State government, they sold 68 ambulances and more than 25 people have died in those ambulances. So Chairperson, where do we draw the line? We need to investigate further. Chairperson, as I wrap up, I'm nearly finished, Chairperson. Peter's Taxi World has now closed down because they are washing their hands. They've closed down. They've charged the money. They've ran away. They've closed down. So there's no way that we're going to ever get the people that have illegally converted these things. Chairperson, SABS that are supposed to be testing these vehicles have not done a single rollover test because they don't have the equipment for doing it. They come to us, they tell us that these are the specifications, it must have rollover testing, it must have seat belts, it must have these seats, it must have that. But nobody is taking anything serious. Chairperson, on these taxi recapitalization, only people that have got operating licenses can qualify for this. But what about the poor people that have bought these taxis from the SA Taxi Finance? Because you don't even need to have a operating license or a route license. They will sell you the taxi on finance. And then afterwards to find out that this taxi was illegally converted. Firstly, now the taxi is useless. Secondly, it does not qualify for taxi recapitalization. So there's a lot of things, Chairperson, that we need to delve in deeper. And I'm looking forward to this, Chairperson. I think this is something that will take this portfolio committee and the subcommittee to a logical conclusion of these illegal conversions. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Keta Mabala Westall.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. First of all, Chairperson, I want to thank you and the committee for allowing us to have to be in that subcommittee. And I want to thank the Chairperson, the way he has conducted the meetings. And I want to thank Advocate and the official that was helping us to deal with the issues of this pen convention. But Chairperson, I'm worried now because now the members, instead of supporting what we have been dealing with, they now want to extend the scope of the subcommittee, because we were a subcommittee of the portfolio committee. So if the portfolio committee see the need of extending this committee, it is up to the committee to deal with. Now, Chairperson, I want to thank Advocate, because you see this report was a long report. And it captured everything that we found to all our observation from. But only thing that Chairperson, that we need to look at is the issue of our entities. You see, we ask our entities questions; they actually didn't report. They didn't respond to what we have asked from our questions. So now I have a concern that we have our entities that undermining the portfolio committees, because if we are a subcommittee, we are a portfolio committee. We are a sub portfolio committee of the committee. So I'm worried about that one, because their behavior and their attitude was uncalled for. Actually, I want just to say thank you very much, Chairperson, for providing us that opportunity. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Stole, Honorable Ramado. Are you part of the committee or am I opening to members now? I'll come
I'm
to
sorry,
you.
Sorry, I'm not part of the committee.
Okay, sure. Chairperson, are you chairperson of the subcommittee? Are you covered? Can I allow other members now to?
Yes, Chair, I'm covered. You can continue. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Ramadwa, you can go ahead, followed by Honorable Mabena.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, for the opportunity that you have given me. Firstly, I would like to welcome the presentation and also to appreciate the team that is led by Honorable Mangu. Chairperson, indeed it's a long report, but very, very informative. Chairperson, I would like to propose that, in fact, to support that the committee, the subcommittee must continue to do its good work. And also, honorable members who are not part of the subcommittee, after going through the draft report, if there are other issues that they need, they want the committee to deal with, is it possible that they can submit that to the subcommittee? Because I heard I don't know whether Honorable McDonald is part of the subcommittee. There are issues that... Oh, no. If he's a part of the subcommittee, I think they will deal with what he has raised. That is not in the report. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Baba Mapena, OT and Axum Tung. As is a Baba Mapena.
I think mine is just quick 2 points. And there was an issue which was raised that there are ambulances which are being converted and that Toyota South Africa is assisting the Department of Health to do so. And also in the report is also noted that there needs to be an approval process to legalize the illegally converted Toyota Quantum panel vans. So in this process, are we looking at a situation where the already converted panel vans are going to, I don't know, perhaps recall, but how do you recall, because those were converted privately and illegally. But what is the actual scope of the approval process to legalize the illegally converted Toyota panel vans? This maybe we can get clarity there. And then also perhaps touch on the issue of accountability as far as the NRCS is concerned. There are a number of issues, Chair, here. I think in the main, Section 17 of the NRCS Act has clearly been violated. And from this report, it doesn't seem as if there are any consequences in terms of that as far as NRCS is concerned or the regulator in this instance, because I think also there are also I think they were caught by surprise, if anything one can say so, but also currently ongoing as far as the report is concerned on the INATs and as far as RTMC is concerned, there are also ongoing panel vans that are currently being converted. The report initially said there were 2,335, and then as you read the report, it was revised to 1,913. So as an ongoing concern, is this still an ongoing conversion of these panel vents? And if there is, what measures are being put in place to ensure that this thing is sorted? And yeah, thank you very much. I said I have two quick points. I think those were my quick points. Thank you.
Okay, let me just check whether the members of the committee have got that far. Are we able to respond to these two quick concerns that were raised by Honorable Mapena?
Yes, sir. We'll ask advocate maybe to add on or other members. I think I'll start with the E-Natis one. I think it was very clear to us that E-Natis is porous. There is no certainty within Natis that it has got all the necessary checks and balances not to allow these. Now, having said that, the process, I think it's easily manipulated because E-Natis assumes that whatever is submitted to them has gone through the proper legal process. Therefore, answering the concern of Honorable Mabena's first issue, the extent of legalizing the illegal, it still continues as far as I'm concerned, and Natis or E-Natis is used to legalize this. Because the places that where these things are happening are not being inspected by either NRCS or SABS, so there is no real proper thing. And only those who want to do the right thing would follow the necessary due process. So the answer is yes. As far as our observation, this thing continues, as my colleagues have already said. And as a result, hence one of the observations and recommendations is that we need to continuously engage as the portfolio committee with E-Natis team within RTMC to make sure that we understand exactly what is happening. And lastly, as it relates to the NRCS role, I think we have clearly said that it is a very liquid one. It's not very clear. There is no agreement or appointment by the department. There is no contract that says this is what we expect you to do. If they do not do it, what is the recourse? It is just something that is fluid that is happening there. So I hope I'm responding to the colleague there through you, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Manu, Honorable Hunsinger.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, thank you for the opportunity, and I'm reacting to both chair people of the subcommittee as well as to you as the principal committee chairperson on the question whether this is an ongoing phenomenon. The report, the Public Protector's report, mentions a couple of figures at certain stages, and these figures are applicable at the stages of investigation. So we're talking of a number of 2,500 odd, and then a number of about half of that at another stage. Now, this certainly created the impression that that would be the volume of illegally converted taxis and which need to be dealt with. However, the suspicion of the committee upon having various interviews is that conveniently this number was used in order to isolate the phenomenon and to address a number equal to when the complaint was laid, equal to the number of vehicles that were found to be illegal at that stage with a limited investigation. So the suspicion of the committee is that the phenomenon is far bigger, that there are a lot more illegally converted taxis, and that certainly it is an ongoing practice despite certain of these conversion workshops having closed in the meantime. So these are all reasons why the subcommittee then has recommended continuation of the work, because this report, even as comprehensive as what it is, was exploratory based on the findings of the public protector, and we therefore see continuation then to bring to the committee the full extent of the further and extended version of all our suspicions. But definitely it is an ongoing phenomenon of a lot more illegally converted taxis than what is mentioned within the public protector's report, which justifies, in my view, support of the proposal to continue with the work. Thank you, Chairperson.
Advocate Nell, you want to say something?
Jay, I think what is just important, if the committee does say yes, subcommittee continue work, look into all the other matters, what is important, because of where the committee is in the process of engaging with the amendment to the NRTA Act, the committee must just bear this report in mind when we look at the clauses that will deal with the regulation of motor vehicle manufacturers, importers, and builders, because there are quite a few clauses that deal with that. So the members must just consider when we go through the clauses whether or not those amendments could assist in dealing with the concerns raised in this report. If not, can we amend those amendments in a way to deal with this report? Again, the note in the report that says we have to always also bear in mind the financial impact thereof on both the industry, as well as to balance that out with the concerns for the safety of the users of those vehicles. So it's just going to be important that if we then also do amendments to the bill, that if it does go beyond the scope, or the focus of the bill, or it is a clause that is regarded to be having such an impact that it would need further stakeholder engagements, that we might need that permission from the table to further publish those new additional amendments. And that could extend the time that the committee will have to work on the amendment bill. So I think I do welcome the members' input. Yes, this is an ongoing concern. Yes, there are many issues with Inatis, many investigations that I also saw when I was at Gauteng with SIU on how people can manipulate the system. But there could be further engagement with RTMC to see specifically how it works, to see if there really is fail-safes. But yes, my concern was just to make sure that considering, for example, tomorrow's meeting on the NRTA, that we keep this report in mind for those engagements. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much. Honorable members, there are two issues on the table. The first issue is that the report should be adopted with its recommendations. And before we do that, there seems to be an agreement that part of the recommendation should include that the committee should continue, extend the scope, and cover issues that were raised by members here. Some others deal with the insurance companies, and I think they were well captured. let me hear support properly, a proposer and a seconder on the issue that the report should be adopted and the committee should give the subcommittee a mandate to further extend the scope and finish its work. Any taker? Let me see hands. Honorable McDonald.
Chairperson, I move that the committee adopts this report and accepts our proposal for extension of our mandate on the investigation on the illegal conversion of all vehicles. Chairperson, thank you very much.
Honorable Mapena, as you lower your hand, Honorable McDonald.
The chair, just a question on the matter of process. Honorable McDonald was part of the subcommittee. Not sure if he's, if he can move as far as that is concerned. But nonetheless, I will second that the report be adopted.
Yeah. Let me see. Okay, there's no any other. Let me just check if there is a member of this portfolio committee who is against the committee proceeding or having anything against the recommendations that were put forward. Honorable Ramada.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not against, but I want to understand that is it proper that we adopt now when we are extending a scope? I thought maybe we'll adopt and then we give the subcommittee time frame and then we adopt after we have extended the mandate to the subcommittee. I don't know if we can adopt now and extend mandate, and then are we going to adopt again? I just want to check that.
Okay. Are you done? Can I respond? The report of the committee should be adopted and its findings, and we further should agree in this meeting whether we are fine with what the committee is presenting to us, including the committee extending its scope. That will also help us that those issues raised by the committee, as said by advocate, will be able then to be considered as we deal with the current legislation. If we have adopted, it means we are able then to deal with issues that will need our immediate attention as we deal with legislation. So it is in order for us to adopt and extend the scope. I can see hands noting, agreeing with what I'm saying. Members do agree with what I'm saying. Are you clarified, Honorable Ramada?
Chairperson, I can't say I'm clarified or not clarified because I don't understand that. What I don't understand is that we are extending a scope in the matter that we want to adopt now, unless if we are saying what has been presented, we adopt that. And then when we are extending a scope, we are not going to discuss issues that we have adopted again. But if we extend the scope and then we deal with everything and then we adopt, it's what I'm saying. I don't know, but it's fine. Majority rule, Chairperson.
Okay. No, we have not got to that stage. Procedurally, a report is put in front of us. We adopt the report that is in front of us. And as that report is put in front of us, the subcommittee feels that they need to also do some further work and bring that work to the committee. I think you are right when you say what is in the report is being adopted. It will be taken as work in progress. We may be able to act upon it as we are dealing with legislation, and whilst we are waiting for further recommendations on the extended work by the subcommittee to be also adopted by the portfolio committee. I think that is clear, honorable members. Honorable Onsinga.
Thank you, Chairperson. I absolutely agree with you. And if it can be of any assistance, colleague Ramatwa, let us just be mindful of the fact that the subcommittee cannot commence on its own accord. It is directed and it is mandated by the principal portfolio committee, which is this committee. There was therefore for the commencement of the subcommittee and the work that followed a particular term of reference that was agreed upon. And within the framework of that particular term of reference, this committee has now generated a report which is for consideration of the principal committee. In addition to that, and that would have been the end of the subcommittee's work and existence. But as part of the recommendations, this subcommittee has now requested continuation, and therefore a new term of reference is thereby requested. This new term of reference now includes an extended scope, which needs to be considered and approved by the committee. In other words, it is a new chapter of a continuation of the same committee, but then with a new term of reference. And because the previous term of reference has been closed off in the form of this report, a new mandate therefore is required. And maybe this can help to understand the two processes, which would then become one later on. Maybe this can help you. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I think that is well said. I take it that there is no member who is against. Who's chairpersoning me now?
It's me.
Oh, Honorable Makosini Shabangu, welcome. Do you want to say something, sir? Honorable Makosini? Okay, he's lost in the deep mountains of my province. Oh, here is he. Yes, sir. I know you have not been with us for a very long time. Can you unmute?
I've unmuted. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
I was just saying I'm rubber stamping what the latter speaker, Ramago, has said, and also indicate that I've been lost because I joined the meeting very late. After 2 hours, I've been struggling to log in. Therefore, I take my rounds during the next discussion. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We're getting off this matter. It means Valerie.
Chair, just in terms of process, once the committee has approved the extended scope, the committee needs to inform House Chairperson of that, as well as the follow-up meeting.
Thank you very much, Valerie. Let's consider doing that as soon as today or tomorrow. Thank you very much. Can we step off this item, honorable members, and deal with the last item? Minutes of the 2nd June 2021. Basically, both sets of minutes are dealing with deliberations on the traffic amendment bill. I've gone through the minutes of the 2nd of June. Any corrections? No correction. Any mover for adoption of the minutes of the 2nd of June?
Honorable Mangu, I move for the adoption of the minutes of the 2nd of June, Jefferson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mangu. Can we get a seconder?
Honorable McDonald seconds, Chairperson.
Honorable McDonald seconds. Any other view? Going once, twice, thrice. Thank you very much. Can we deal with the minute of the 3rd of June, 2021? We're still on deliberations on the traffic amendment bill. Any corrections? If there are no corrections, can we have a mover for the minutes?
Chairperson, Honorable McDonald moves.
Any seconder?
I didn't want it to be a song, but Honorable Manu does second for the option chair. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Members, and thank you very much, Honorable Manu. Let me take this opportunity really to thank the committee. I see a hand here. That was
yes.
A hand raised.
No.
Okay, Honorable Manu.
Yes. It is a fresh hand, sir. It is a fresh hand, Chair. With your indulgence, Chair, there are very pertinent issues that are in media that I thought the Chairperson could look at, and I direct us on what is needed to be done. I think we will be remiss if we do not talk about them. Firstly, Chair, DOT offices of the minister were raided by the sheriff for assets or recovering of RAF. I thought we could say whether we deal with it in the week and so forth. The second issue, Chair, is the issue of continued stripping PRASA assets, if they are still assets. As late as last week, there were still train stations with no security guards in Gauteng who were continuing to be stripped. I thought, Chair, I would put those and for your consideration. Obviously, today the agenda was packed, but I thought I'll deposit those two letters for the consideration of the Chairperson and guidance if the committee agrees that they are worth talking about and discussing. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much for your presence in concerning things that are happening currently let's see if we can have space tomorrow to deal with these matters, Honorable Mani. I see Portfolio Committee host having...
Chair, I've been trying to get your attention. There's also the matter of the proposed revised draft program that's on the agenda that is needed to be discussed, please. With a minute.
Oh, with a minute.
Yeah, there's still the program.
Okay. Honorable McDonald.
Thank you, Jefferson. Let me lower my hand first before I get into trouble again. Jefferson, I'm 100% of support of what Honorable Manu has raised. And I thought he would have raised this as well. But let me assist Honorable Manu there. There's a huge problem with renewal of driver's licenses in Gauteng.
Honorable McDonald, I thought I was requesting that we should not deal with this matter.
Chairperson, I just wanted to add one thing, Chairperson. Apologies, yeah. Chairperson. I just wanted to support what Honorable Manu said, and just wanted to add that when we are discussing these burning issues, that the renewal of the licenses in Gauteng, driver's licenses, are also discussed, Jefferson, because it's become a huge problem. People are driving illegally and they won't be able to renew their licenses, and the law enforcement agencies is going to use this opportunity to arrest and punish people for something that is not their fault, Jefferson. So can we also just have that as well? Thank you, Jefferson.
Thank you very much, honorable member. Valerie, I know you are to send this program, sorry, it was an oversight on me, quite early. Can you present the program to the committee?
Yes, Chair, just one thing that members should be aware of, that the National Assembly updated its program 2 weeks ago so the new term, third term, will now be 6 weeks running from today until the 1st of October. So the old program had a constituency break in between the meetings of 4 weeks. So there would have been a three-week meetings, 4 week constituency break, followed by the BRRR process in October. Now that the term has been extended, that had to be reflected in the new proposed draft, which I've sent to members. The program outline is very similar to the one that was presented to members in June. The only difference is that meetings from September had to be populated, and that will mostly be covered by legislation. So the program is still the same. It will just include a few meetings to process bills, Chair. Just so that you are aware, Chairperson, that matter is new. There's supposed to be a meeting on Friday, the 20th of August, on the processing of the ERT bill. But now members have indicated that there's responses needed from the department. And I just need members to indicate whether this meeting needs now to be postponed till Tuesday rather. There's also another issue that came up, Chair. There was an email that came in last night from the NCOP, where yourself and the members of the committee are invited to attend the launch of the Women's Charter on Friday, the 20th, this coming Friday, from 10 to 1 o'clock. This is a new issue that I'm bringing to you. I've emailed it to you last night. So that is the only issue for this week. All the meetings are still the same. All the briefings are still the same. The only difference now is that the term will run continuously for 6 weeks, Chair. And Chair, the other matter is that was discussed by the committee in June was the matter of stakeholders that requested to brief the committee on various issues. And the view from the committee at that stage was that these stakeholders should indicate the urgency of the matter before the committee decides whether it is necessary to have those presentations and to schedule those briefings. I will remind the members of those stakeholders. That was the Law Society of South Africa, an organization called Darkipedia, and the African Rail Industry Association. And Chair, there was also the matter of a claimant from the Road Accident Fund that wanted her issue to be brought to the committee. So those are the four that the committee are already aware of. There were also stakeholders that sent requests during the constituency break that I've emailed to you. So that can maybe discuss at a later stage. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Valerie, for the programs and issues raised. Let me hear members' input. I have Honorable Hunsinger, Honorable Lawrence McDonald, Honorable Mangi. In that order, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, in terms of the program, in general, I have a problem in portfolio committee meetings being scheduled for Fridays. My priority for portfolio committee meetings definitely is Tuesdays, and it often needs to flow over into Wednesday mornings. But Fridays is a particular issue. That is a day where I normally engage with sector and stakeholder and industry in a wider scale. And it is definitely a huge problem to attend portfolio committee meetings and have it scheduled for Fridays. It is a huge problem for me. I do understand the pressure of us having to do work. But even evenings on Tuesdays and Wednesdays should be prioritized, in my view, Chairperson, over Fridays. Then, Chairperson, related to the opinion of the committee that stakeholders wishing to address the portfolio committee prior to such an engagement need to indicate the merits and reasons why they regard it important to have an audience with a portfolio committee. With reference to the four entities which was mentioned by our committee secretary, have we received such replies, or what is the current status? Have they been communicated with? Can we just get some insight as to the current status of those four particular requests to meet with the portfolio committee? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Hunsinger, Honorable McDonald.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me lower my hand. Chairperson, through you, thank you. I'm in agreement with the program as indicated by the committee secretary, Ms. Carlosser. I am also in agreement that Friday's meeting regarding the economic regulator of transport can be moved to next week, Tuesday, to give the department sufficient time to respond to those issues that were raised today. And Chairperson, just Chairperson, it's been a long time since we've done oversight, Chairperson. I'm sure there must be somewhere that we can. We've got many burning issues. Praza, we have the illegal, the foreigners driving trucks that's caused major issues on the N3 and wherever. I'm sure we can, Chairperson, somewhere in there we need to do an oversight, Chairperson, in our program. That's my personal opinion, Chairperson. You can guide me, but thank you very much, Chairperson.
Honorable Mani.
Chair, thank you very much for the opportunity once more. Number one, I support that the economic regulator bill on Friday be postponed. It was not clear on what this invitation, where is it, what is happening. Apparently, it has been emailed to you, the invitation by NCOP. If it could be clarified or shared, I think that will assist. Thirdly, I fully support. You are intimidating me, Honorable Makosini. Switch off your mic. You are making young caller. The issue of oversight, almost all committees in the economic cluster have visited two provinces by instruction, I believe, of the chief whip of the majority in parliament to assess and report. And I think it is going to be a very big gap that transport will have no report in parliament of its observations and recommendations as it relates to the recent looting in Gauteng and KZN. It is my view and submission that that has to be prioritized. We find space. Whether we do both provinces or not is subject of the committee, but KZN, in my view, was the one that was mostly affected during the recent riots. That is on top of supporting what Comrade, Honorable McDonald is saying as it relates to oversight. Chairperson, we have recently seen, and we were trying to get here, but maybe we moved a bit late, the issue of taxi violence. It is not going away, Chairperson. There are pockets that are coming out in the Eastern Cape, while it is quiet in the Western Cape. Chair, there has been a talk or indication at some stage, I'm subject to correction, that the NLTA has got an amendment that is on its way or should be on its way. And it is my view that it is entertained because I believe that many of the things that might be affecting the public transport space could be addressed. As much as I don't know what it would be proposing, but we might find a way of doing certain changes in that space. So those will be my input, Chairperson, and I hope I didn't take them too long to a point where I was lost in the middle. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member Bauma Ben.
I think first and foremost, I think I would like to, one, maybe place it on record, Chair, to say, you know, when I asked that we go back to Omoloto to do a report back meeting, we advised that the chairperson of the committees, Babu Frolic, had put an embargo on oversight, and that we could not do it during recess, and therefore that thing fell away. But to our surprise, we were hurriedly summoned to Cape Town to deal with taxi violence, and the issue was that people are dying, but also people are also dying in Mpumalanga as a result of that Moloto Road. And I was saying that the lives of the people of the Western Cape are much more important than the lives of the people in Mpumalanga. I was one of the people that indicated that I will be coming. Flights were booked and we were ready to come here and deal with those issues. But the challenge here, Chairperson, arises that the committee seems to pick and choose and cherry picks issues to deal with as and when certain people within the committee feel that this can be done and that can be done. the committee saw it fit to write to Frolic and request a special committee meeting and some sort of an oversight to the Western Cape to deal with that issue. Yet the committee could not do the same thing for the people of Moloto, which is, to me, is double standards, and it's hypocritical to say the least. And I think we need to do better, Chairperson. I think we must not tarnish your reputation as the Chairperson. I think to date, you have perhaps treated yourself very well as the Chairperson of this committee. But I think maybe those salient and small issues must be addressed, that, you know, every one of us, when we do input, we must be treated equally. And the committee must prioritize citizens, regardless of which province they are in, equally, because these issues also affect them negatively. So my point, Chair, is one, we need to go back. The same that we're willing to sacrifice 3 days to come to the Western Cape. The issue of Moloto report back is a one-day issue and can be also prioritized. I think, one, we need to go back and do a report back with regards to the Moloto Road issue to those people. Secondly, the issue of Gauteng is a pending issue. People are not in a position to renew driver's licenses. It's a problem. DLTCs have collapsed completely in Gauteng. The queues are there. People get letters being notified that they need to come to a DLTC. Only when they get there, they're told that they must come back tomorrow or the issue cannot be dealt with. It's a problem. And, you know, it is frustrating. People are frustrated to the core. I think the proposal is, the second one is, we need to visit Gauteng as far as the LTCs are concerned. And I think we need to do an extensive oversight over the regions of Gauteng. Gauteng is 5 regions, where we can prioritize maybe, I don't know, all of the 5 regions to go and deal with the issues of DLTCs and the inability for people to renew their driver's license and the ting time bomb that is. As far as the issue of having meetings on Fridays, I think maybe that can also be re-looked at because I think it's going to be a bit strenuous on our part. I think Jefferson, those are my topics, but I think the program in its current form can also maybe accommodate more oversight. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mabena, Honorable Ramado.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I'm covered by the previous speaker. We spoke on oversight and also taxi violence. But I just want to speak on one thing that was indicated here, that was discussed here, the issue of stakeholders wanting to meet the portfolio committee. My understanding is that we are public rep. We represent the public. So now, if the public wants to talk to us, I think we need to listen to them so that we'll have information of what is happening. Some of the things we don't know that they are happening, then we'll have information. I think we need to meet them, not to ask them where is it agent or is not agent. I think we need to consider meeting those stakeholders. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ramado. As I'm listening to you, you are saying the program is approved with the following inputs. We should create more space for oversight. And then the issue of the meeting of Friday to be taken to Tuesday, we agree with it. If we can give the invitation to members, Valerie, of Friday, and their views that the people who wants to see us must indicate the agents of seeing us and the reasons so that we can take a decision. I think this is a decision long standing. It's a decision of this portfolio committee, which we took earlier on. Am I correct, honorable members?
Correct, Chairperson.
So the decision is already there, because there are a number of people who want to see the committee within this bumper-to-bumper kind of a program we have. So if we are to create a situation where we see people, it means we'll need more time. And I think the decision that was taken earlier on, Honorable Ramato, is that people must indicate reasons and agency thereof. We have already turned down a number of people. And so maybe, Valerie, if you can just indicate, a question was asked here. whether these people have finished you with the reasons and the agency thereof. The issue of Friday, where as much as we can, I believe that we should try and accommodate everybody. But we should also be wary of the fact that other committees were working during the recess. We took a clear decision that we are not going to work because some of us were held up somewhere in their constituency office, which I still believe it's a genuine reason. So my request to members is that let's try and do our best in dealing with parliamentary work. For an example, some of the oversights may want us to include your Friday and Saturdays, and we should be ready to do that if we are honestly going to look at the oversight and cover areas that members would suggest. We would understand where a member is not here once or twice, but I am requesting humbly so our commitment, honorable members. Should there be a need for us to work on a Friday or Saturday, especially on oversights, or if there's a special case that we need to attend to and close the matter of the committee on a Friday and it's a once-off, let's consider it. Let's not apply a blanket approach that will not be working on Fridays. Otherwise, I think those are the issues. If you can just give us feedback on the people who requested to see us, Valerie, I think that's the feedback.
Chair, I've emailed the responses to members. The Darkipedia said it was a matter of life and death. Their response and the African Rail Industry's response did not differ from the initial letters. The only organization that gave more information, which is a memo that members can read, is from the Law Society of South Africa. They gave more detailed information on why this meeting with the committee was so important. So if I'm sure, Chair, that this is still a matter that can be discussed in tomorrow's meeting if members need more information to read through it. And the matter from the Road Accident Fund claimant is a matter, there is also a document that was provided on the process in relation to, and the outcome of that process of the with the Road Accident Fund. So so I've sent that to members as well. It was sent in June and I've resent it. The matter of the oversight chair, there were a lot of possibilities mentioned by members for oversight. The term is short, and if possible, if members can give us tomorrow at least one or two definite options so that when we approach house chair, then we can give dates to say these are the possible dates in terms of the program, and this is where members want to go, so that we can also plan better for each chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Valerie. Let's deal with the issues of the response from the people who want to see us and finalize them tomorrow. Let's also suggest areas which we think needs to be covered in terms of the oversight and close this matter tomorrow. Otherwise, let me have a proper mover for the program with those additions. Any mover?
Chair, I propose that we don't adopt it now so that those changes are effected and the consideration is given to these oversights as proposed.
As part of the program?
As part of the program.
Okay, sure.
Otherwise, we'll track off it. So maybe if it is not that critical, we give it a day or two, or we consider it after we've spoken to revise. Then on Wednesday, we can, Wednesday is tomorrow. Whatever. We will see, but I just think that if we accept this voucher, it might elude us that we include the things that the members have expressed strongly to get them included. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you. Let's deal with the program then tomorrow after the additions that we want added. I'm sure I will be pardoned to say at this point we have dealt with issues that we needed to deal with, except one issue that we could not deal with, which we'll deal with on Tuesday. Deliberations on the economic regulation and responses by the department. Otherwise, I want to thank members of this portfolio committee on the work done, including the subcommittee for the diligent work that they've been doing. Let's keep it professional, deal with issues in a respectable way, respect everybody that we are going to meet. Just keep it in mind that whatever you do is on behalf of all of us. You know now how we as a committee project ourselves. Otherwise, you are doing a very good job. We must thank you for taking time on this important matter. We hope this extension will bring this matter into its logical conclusion. And let me also thank you on other deliberations I'm sure we'll continue to be a unit. We have heard you, Honorable Mapena, that we should continue flying the flag high in terms of accommodating each and every one of us. I also really want to request that we should do exactly that. There will be issues there and there, but it should not be the issues that are deliberate. So let's keep on working very hard and ensuring that we work as a unit, as this portfolio committee. Otherwise, allow me with the position I'm occupying of chairing this meeting to release all the members and allow them to go and attend to other commitments that they have. Thank you very much for attending this meeting and your presentations. I can hear that when it is cold, people want to be warm. So yes, let's meet tomorrow at the same time, at the same place. Those of you who are traveling to the Thursday meeting, just ensure that you are also able to attend our portfolio committee meeting tomorrow. Otherwise, this meeting stands adjourned. Long live everybody. Long live.
Thank you, Chairperson. Goodbye, everyone.
Long live the chair. Long live.
Long Thank live, my chair. Long live.
Long live,
Long live. Long live, Makosini. Long live, Makosini.
Makosini is already gone to the mountains.